This is Audible.
Brilliance Audio presents Bloodbond 5 by Helen Hart, performed by John Lane and Lauren Rowe.
Prologue, Aaron. Take your clothes off, Aaron. Abrupt. No talk of breakfast, of my night or his. All right, two could play this game. You take yours off, too. He responded with a soft growl.
You forget who's in charge here. I don't obey you. You obey me.
His words, though I'd heard them before, unnerved me and excited me. I undressed, soon standing before him in my bra and panties.
The rest,
he snarled, or I will rip them off you with my bare hands. Shaking, I unsnapped my bra and removed it, letting my breasts fall against my chest. Dante inhaled and licked his lips.
God, beautiful. Keep going.
I pushed my cotton panties over my hips and down my thighs until they lay on the floor. I kicked them away. He closed his eyes and inhaled.
You're ripe. So ripe.
I squeezed my thighs together. My body tingled all over, and my pussy was pulsing. I'd just gotten home, and already I was wet for him. He inched toward me, and then he buried his nose in my neck, sniffing my shoulder blade up to my earlobe.
I want to sink my cock inside you, Aaron,
he whispered.
I need you.
I moaned softly. My juices moistened my inner thighs. I was ready. No foreplay necessary. He still hadn't taken any clothes off. Please, take off your clothes. I want to see you. He moved backward a few feet, his eyes smoldering. He lifted the t-shirt he wore over his head to display his magnificent chest. His skin was fair, as usual, his nipples a light copper. His abs formed a perfect six-pack. I sank to my knees and unsnapped his jeans. I shoved the denim over his hips, and that perfect cock sprang out to greet me. I licked the tip, and a shudder raced through his whole body. He closed his eyes and groaned. I licked the rest of the salty fluid from the tip until it was coated in a sheen of my saliva. I took him as far as I could and then retreated when the tip nudged the back of my throat. I kissed him, swirling my tongue around the head and then in little figure eights along his shaft until I got to his balls, which were scrunched up against his body. I sprinkled kisses all over them, inhaling his masculine musk. Then I went back to work on his cock. I plunged my mouth onto it again, this time adding my fist so I could make it all the way to his base. My nipples ached and my pussy vibrated as I blew him. I wanted to give him the blowjob of his life, and I intended to. He grabbed two handfuls of my hair, and fresh juice gushed from me. But instead of pushing me toward his cock, he pulled my head off of him.
Upstairs,
he growled. Quickly, he hoisted up his jeans and then lifted me into his arms and threw me over his shoulder, advancing toward the steps.
Mine,
he said under his breath, but loud enough that I felt it. Yours, the words formed in my mind. Yours forever. When we arrived at my bedroom, he laid me, not gently, on the bed and spread my legs. His eyes widened. Rage poured off of him in waves.
What
is it? Dante's eyes were on fire, the mark around his irises more apparent than ever. And his teeth.
The bite marks.
His voice was more growling than speaking.
These wounds are new, Aaron. Someone has fed on you in the last 12 hours.
1. Dante. My vision sharpened. I'd felt protective of Aaron before, but now that I'd taken her blood, red rage consumed me. In a split second, all of my senses were on alert, and I was ready to spring. My fangs had already descended, but a new sensation took flight with them. My canine nerves pulsed, each throb honing my teeth until they were longer and more lethal than ever before. These teeth would kill. I didn't stop to think about the how or the why of what was happening. One thought only shifted through my mind to the beat of my thundering heart. Mine. Then, Mark her. Mark what's mine. With no warning, I lowered my head and sank my teeth into the milky flesh of her thigh.
Dante!
She cried out, but she didn't try to stop me. Good thing, I wouldn't have been able to. My mouth, my teeth, were without my control now. They took over my mind, intent on plundering what had been stolen. I sucked ferociously, taking what was mine, what had been wrongfully taken from Aaron. My Aaron. Her red nectar flowed over my tongue, infusing me with her strength, her femininity, her courage. Everything Aaron. Everything mine. Then it crawled down my throat, feeding me, nourishing me, calming me, saving me. I hadn't climaxed, and neither had she, yet still the soft jazz played in the air around us. Still waves of pure energy and rapture catapulted through my whole body. My cock was hard for her, and she was wet for me, and a beautiful climax was in the near future. But for now, I took from her, and she gave to me willingly. Her body answered my call so sweetly. Her mind would follow, soon, I hoped. It had to. She writhed beneath me, urging me on. What must this feel like to her? To me, it was heaven. Though my rage hadn't dissipated, I stopped when I needed to. Nothing in the world, not even the blackest anger, could make me harm my love. I licked her wounds, and then looked up at her. She'd raised her head off the pillow, and her light green eyes electrified me.
"Come here," she said. "Come here and kiss me. Please, God, Dante, please."
I slithered up her body and crushed my mouth to hers. Her sweetness mingled with the blood still on my lips. I took from her in this kiss, took what was mine, gave her what she begged me for. Me. All of me. My teeth were sharp and fully descended, but I didn't hold back as our mouths slid together. My heart was pounding, and so was hers. I could feel as well as hear it thumping to the jazzy beat surrounding us. Her reaction fascinated me, made me ache for her even more. I'd taken blood from her thigh, marked her over the wounds that had been forced on her against her will, and now she wanted more. Wanted me. My hard cock stiffened further between her legs, sliding over her wetness. I plunged in. Her soft moan reverberated inside my mouth, and her pussy formed around me, a perfect cast for my cock. I continued the feral kiss, holding my cock inside her, relishing the perfect suction, until I could wait no longer. I pulled out and thrust back in with a vengeance. She wrapped her lithe legs around me, cushioning me in her warmth. I thrust, and she arched into me and cried out. As her slick walls convulsed around me, I pushed inside her once more, balls deep, and gave her everything. The soft jazz around us had become faster and louder, in time with my thrusts, and now, with my mouth still clamped to hers, I experienced something new. I had taken her blood before orgasm, had marked what was mine, covering the wounds made by someone else who had taken her without consent. An image swirled in my mind of Aaron handing me a newborn son. Our son. Downy hair and fair skin, he wailed with his first breath, and the nubs of his baby eye teeth protruded through his pink gums. He was a vampire.
2. Aaron. This orgasm was even more spectacular than the previous ones I'd experienced while Dante took my blood. When he was feeding from my thigh, the music around us had increased until it ascended into the familiar colors and shapes I'd seen before. But this time, we hadn't joined our bodies. Yet we had. His teeth in my flesh was another kind of joining, a joining I'd come to enjoy despite the reservations I still held on to. Was this a new kind of lovemaking? Now that we'd both climaxed and he lay next to me, his arms strewn across his forehead, these thoughts crossed my mind. He hadn't asked to bite my thigh, not verbally. Yet he had somehow. I'd felt it within my soul, and I'd consented. He would have stopped if he'd felt something else from me, I was sure of it. The tugging on my flesh was familiar, the same as when he fed at my neck. But what made this so intense was that he was covering something else. The marks from another vampire. Another vampire who had fed on me within the last 12 hours. I jerked upward into a sitting position as the thought materialized in my mind. The only place I'd been in the last 12 hours was the hospital. Also in my car, but mostly at work. Had I stopped? Yes, I stopped this morning to fill my gas tank. I'd forgotten because when I got home, Dante had been waiting for me, and he commanded me to undress. Then I hadn't been able to think about anything else once he'd said those words. Aaron? Dante rose and sat beside me. You said someone fed on me within the last 12 hours.
Yes.
He clenched his hands into fists, his eyes flaming.
And I will find out who and put an end to it. Trust me on that.
I did trust him, but we hadn't had any luck questioning Abe Lincoln or the others at Claiborne Bridge. We hadn't gone to the quarter at night, as he'd first suggested.
Where did you go in the last 12 hours? Retrace your steps.
I went to work. I was in my car, then at the hospital. On my way home, I stopped to fill up my tank, but that's it. When I got here, you were waiting for me.
A vampire could have stopped you during any of that. Or you could have gone somewhere else and been glamored into not remembering it.
My skin chilled, and I rubbed my arms to ease the goose flesh. Nausea welled in my throat, and I swallowed. I can't stand this. I feel so used.
I know, baby. No vampire should take blood from a human unless he has consented. Outside of an emergency, of course.
Maybe this was an emergency. But I didn't believe the words even as they tumbled from my mouth.
We can't rule that out, but I'm not buying it. If it were an emergency, it wouldn't have happened more than once.
Your scent is strong, Aaron. Strong and delicious and nearly impossible to resist. Someone knows you and has been feeding on you. Not every day, thank goodness, which means it's probably not someone at work. Then I trembled. I'd been going somewhere, most likely in my car, and I didn't even know it. Dante stared at me, his fangs lengthening until the points protruded between his lips still smeared with my blood.
Listen to me. I will not let anyone harm you. I will find who's been doing this to you, and I will put a stop to it. Trust me, Aaron, I will do everything to protect you.
I think. The flaming amber ring around his irises seemed to pulse as he spoke in a low rasp.
Never doubt it. You're mine to protect.
I've known it instinctively since I first laid eyes on you, first inhaled your scent. I was even willing to stay away to protect you. I jerked my head. Stay away? How would that protect me?
Aaron, I was determined to protect you from me.
I don't want to be protected from you. The words, though always true, never rang more powerfully or more sincerely than they did at that moment. He cupped my cheeks, his hands, so often cold, now nearly burning my skin.
I know. That's why I kept coming back. The pull was too great. I couldn't resist it. I tried, but I failed every time.
I felt it too, I said. You were pulling me toward you. I kept coming to you, needed to be with you, even though I didn't understand it. He wrapped his arms around me, surrounding me in his warmth. His anger and ferocity were dissipating. Because of me, I had that effect on him. I smiled into his chest. He sighed. It was almost like a magnetizing force. I pulled back a little, drowning in his dark eyes. I've never felt anything like it. I hardly knew you, yet something in you was calling to me. I don't know how else to describe it.
You described it perfectly. That's how it felt to you, love. But that pull, it was actually you, pulling me to you.
I moved away from him, tensing. He trailed one finger down my jawline, stopping at the pulsing artery in my neck.
There's a reason for this connection we've formed, at least in theory. It's called a blood bond.
I widened my eyes. What?
I know it's a lot to take. You've had to deal with so much, but I can't keep this information from you. You and I are bonded by blood.
He was so beautiful, so masculine and majestic, and the love that flowed between us was palpable, almost visible. It was real, so real, and now he was telling me that maybe it wasn't? I don't believe you.
It's hard for me to believe as well. This hasn't happened in a long time. I'm talking centuries, maybe millennia.
I shook my head vehemently. That's not what I meant. Though I don't know what the hell a blood bond is or whether it even exists. I mean that my love for you is... It's not the result of anything paranormal. I love you, Dante. Nothing is making me love you. I love you, period.
I know. I love you, too. But the blood bond was part of the reason for our initial attraction. I was attracted to you anyway. You're gorgeous, Aaron. So beautiful.
So are you.
He smiled. I'm glad you think so.
But remember where I was and what I looked like when you first met me? I looked like a wild man vandalizing your blood bank.
I gasped. Yes. And I thought he was looking for food.
But no, he'd been looking for blood.
What?
You needed blood that night, didn't you? You didn't want to feed on a human, but you were hungry, and... Thoughts began to awaken in me, thoughts I'd pushed to the back of my mind because I'd been so focused on Dante and the pull and attraction between us.
And what?
River said you'd been gone a long time, that... I closed my eyes, trying desperately to remember the conversation. He hadn't really told me anything else. That you'd been gone, and he'd sure seemed surprised to see you that first morning.
Dante stayed silent.
You have to tell me, Dante, the truth. You owe me that much. He opened his eyes, and the mark B had told us about was again clear around his brown irises.
You're right, Aaron. I was hungry that night. I was desperate. If you only knew how difficult it was not to... Damn. Not to take your blood.
He didn't finish the sentence, but the words formed in my mind. He didn't have to say them.
Thank God I'd drunk several bags of blood by the time you found me. If I hadn't, I wouldn't have been able to resist you.
3. Dante. My mind whirled back to that night. The hunger, the desperation. I'd torn open those clear bags and poured the nectar onto my face and down my throat. And then, Aaron. Her scent, her irresistible scent. That earthy dark chocolate and smoky truffles, the lusty Cabernet, the tin, the copper. The urge to take her with my teeth had come at me like a raging fire. Somehow I was able to hold back. Even now I wasn't sure how I'd managed. If I'd had a taste of her then, when I was so hungry and desperate, I might have drained her. Thank God for the bagged blood. Thank God.
Why were you so desperate, Dante? River said you had been gone a long time, and he was so surprised to see you. Where were you?
Images hurtled toward me. Her, the human goons who smelled like garbage and vomit, her sharp fangs sinking into me. The knife held over my penis, my foot. Then me sinking my teeth into her flesh. Her blood, thick like tar, acidic as it clawed its way into my body. All of it. Humiliation. And still much I couldn't remember, didn't want to remember. Then, Aaron. Sweet, beautiful Aaron, who had been tangled within my web through no fault of her own. She hadn't asked for a blood bond, and neither had I. Yet I felt compelled to be honest with her, so compelled that I wondered if the blood bond required it. Not yet. I couldn't taint Aaron with the horrors of my past. I just couldn't. I'll tell you about it, I said. But not right now.
Why not? We've shared everything. Everything, Dante.
Sweetness and innocence laced her words, but they reeked of falseness. We hadn't shared everything. I'd been deliberately keeping things from her. Things I wasn't ready to talk about. Things she wasn't ready to hear. You deserve to know everything about me. I just can't. Not yet.
I don't understand. Why did you leave? And why were you gone so long?
I closed my eyes, trying to tamp down my beating heart.
Dante?
I opened my eyes. She was so beautiful, still naked, her green eyes wide and innocent. What I was about to do would shred that innocence a little, and I hated myself for it. I didn't leave, Aaron. I was taken. She gulped audibly.
What?
I was taken. And I can't talk about it. My memories are a mess. I'm not sure which ones are real and which ones aren't. I know you deserve the truth, but I'm just not ready yet. Please try to understand. She left the bed, saying nothing. She was upset, and I didn't blame her. I'd forced her into my world, and now I was withholding information from her. I lay back down, closing my eyes and rubbing my temples. I'd just fed from and made love to the woman who was my soulmate and bloodmate. I should feel wonderful. Instead, the beginnings of a headache were hammering their way in. A few moments later, Aaron returned. I felt more than heard her approach the bed.
"This is real,"
she said. My eyes popped open. "What, baby?"
"You and me. This."
She waved her arms in a circle.
"What we share together, our love, it's real."
"Of course it is."
"This conversation started because I was confused. It all seems so real to me, even though I'm having a hard time accepting everything about you. But what underlies everything, the pull, the obsession, the blood bond, as you call it, is love. Real love, Dante. Blood bond or not, I love you."
"And you think the blood bond means it isn't real?"
"No, I do think it's real, regardless of some outside force dictating to us. You said we had a blood bond, and that was what explained the pull we have toward each other. I didn't like hearing that, because this is real. My feelings for you are not the result of anything other than the fact that I'm completely and hopelessly in love with you."
Warmth filled me. "It is real. I never said it wasn't."
"But you said..."
"I said we have a blood bond. That is a physical bond between us, and I honestly can't explain it any more than that because no one really knows much about it. I never said it meant our love wasn't real." Her cheeks pinked and she bit her bottom lip.
"I felt like..."
I stood and pulled her into my arms. "Hey, the blood bond, whatever it might be, doesn't negate the emotion between us, Aaron. It only enhances it." She snuggled her face into my shoulder.
"I couldn't bear the thought that you might only want me for my blood."
I pushed her slightly away, gripping her shoulders and staring straight into her green eyes. "Don't ever think that, baby. I want you, all of you. Your blood is part of you." She curved one side of her lip in a half smile.
"I suppose it is. I just never had a man want it before."
I stiffened. Someone else did want her blood. Whether it was a man or a woman, I didn't know. My bet was on a man. I tried to relax my muscles and said nothing.
"I wish I understood it more," she said. "This blood bond thing."
I couldn't help a little scoff. "So do I. Apparently this happened between vampires and humans millennia ago, perhaps before we were even self-aware. If it has happened since, it has been rare and undocumented."
"Then how do you know about it now?"
I sat down on the bed and pulled her down next to me, pushing a few strands of hair out of her eyes. "Bill did some research. He had to dig deep, and he found what might be an explanation for what's happening between us."
"Our love?"
"Our love is real, Aaron. But before the love was the pull. That pull, that need to have and protect, is the result of the blood bond. At least in theory. Like I said, we don't know much about it."
"How did he know to do this research?"
I touched my nose absently. I've lost my sense of smell.
"What?"
"Not completely. I just can't smell the unique scent of other humans."
"Okay."
"I can still smell food and other things, and I can still smell human hormones like testosterone and estrogen. But what I can't smell is the unique scent of a human, with the exception of you." She arched her eyebrows.
"We each have our own smell."
A statement, not a question. "Yes, some humans smell really good to us, like you and your brother. The reason was the vampire blood in their line, but I didn't know how to tell her that yet. She was still having a rough time accepting me for what I truly was. But every human has a unique scent. Natural redheads also smell very good to us. But I can't smell them anymore. I can't smell your brother anymore. I can only smell you."
"Why?"
"The blood bond, as far as I can tell. That's why Bill started the research. I didn't realize it for a while because you had invaded my senses that first night in the blood bank, and I literally could think of nothing else. But since I met you, I haven't been able to smell other humans. Like when I found you with that guy. Temper welled within me, and my fangs itched as the pungent aroma of the man's testosterone edged into my memory. He'd been horny and ready to take something that didn't belong to him, would never belong to him." I willed myself to calm down, a little. Nothing had happened, at least nothing of any consequence. Still didn't make me happy about it. I couldn't smell him, but I could smell his testosterone. I knew he was turned on, and when I came at him, I could smell his adrenaline, his fear. But I couldn't smell him. I sighed. I know this isn't making any sense to you because humans don't smell each other.
So you have the nose of, like, a dog?
I chuckled. Sort of. Probably better than a dog, even.
But you can only smell me now.
Yeah.
What does all this mean, Dante?
Honestly, Aaron, I don't know. It's all theory at this point.
I don't get it. What's so special about me? Why would you only smell me?
What's so special about you? Are you kidding? You're brave and kind and beautiful and smart and protective and a million other things. You're you, Aaron. If that's not special, I don't know what is. And we are dependent on each other now for our very lives. I couldn't say that yet. First, she had to consciously accept me for who I was. It wasn't enough that she allowed me to feed, even if she enjoyed it, or that she was in love with me, and I believed she was. She had to look at me and see me, truly see me. And she hadn't, not yet. What a fucking mess. I raked my fingers through my hair. I'd answer your questions better if I could, baby, and I promise that one day I'll tell you about where I was, when I remember everything coherently. And I will. I have to.
Yes, you have to. Because you have to tell Jay and River everything. They'll find out who did this to you.
I have. I've been as honest with River as I can be. Trust me, he's been on my ass about it since I got back.
Of course he has. And now I will be too, and Jay.
No, Aaron, I said adamantly. You will tell no one about any of this.
4. Aaron. Was he kidding? Dante, I want to help.
You can help by leaving this to me, to River and me. We know how to deal with it.
A lightning bolt hit me. Are you saying that whoever took you was...
A vampire, yeah. There's nothing you or Jay can do, because even if you find out who it was, she'll just glamour you.
I held up my hand. Wait a minute. This vampire was a woman?
He nodded.
Horrible thoughts formed in my head. Did she?
No. She didn't fuck me or violate me sexually, if that's what you're thinking, though she did other things that I'd rather she hadn't.
A lump formed in my throat. Thank God he hadn't been raped. But what had he endured? Shattered images tormented my mind, and though I tried to whisk them away, I couldn't. Oh my God, I'm so sorry, Dante. Vampire or not, I wanted to mutilate the woman who had hurt the man I loved. No doubt about it, I was irresistible to vampires, huh? Good. I was going back to Claiborne Bridge at night. Not only did I need to find the vampires who were feeding from me and my brother, I had to find the vampire who had hurt Dante. Perhaps my scent would draw them out. Only one problem. Is there a way to... I hedged. To keep a vampire from glamoring a human? He shook his head.
Not that I know of. I wish there were.
There has to be, I said. It's such a violation of human dignity.
It is, which is why most of us don't do it unless it's an emergency. I'm not sure how it evolved, because from everything I know, humans and vampires coexisted peacefully during primitive times.
Meaning humans let vampires take their blood?
That's what we've always been taught. But humans soon outnumbered vampires because human women are much more fertile.
Right, you told me.
And then the two species began interbreeding as well. We never knew why, we just accepted it as another reason why vampires began to die out. When they breed, the result is always a human baby, or more correctly, a half-vampire baby that doesn't have any vampire characteristics. No acute senses, no ability to glamour, no physiological need for blood, no vampire canine nerve.
So if you and I had a baby, it would be essentially human? He stared at me for a moment, his eyes unreadable, and then nodded. A heavy weight I hadn't realized I'd been carrying magically lifted from me. Not that I'd even thought about children with Dante, but we were in love. The logical result was marriage and children. I'd always wanted children. Did he? Was it too soon to think about those things? This relationship is full of unanswered questions.
I wish I could tell you everything, Dante said, but there's a lot I just don't know.
Whoa. Had he read my mind? Though normally such a thought would make me uncomfortable, it was strangely calming, as if we were meant to be so closely bonded that we could know what the other was thinking. I was probably making things up.
We don't know much about the blood bond, he continued, but the theory is that it evolved on the part of humans to draw vampires into breeding with them. Vampires are much like humans, but if the two species ever had to fight for existence, vampires have a few advantages.
Like your superior senses.
Yeah, and our ability to glamour. But we're also vulnerable. We rely on blood to survive, and humans have blood. Anyway, the theory, at least what Bill found in his research, is that humans subconsciously created the blood bond to force vampires into interbreeding so that humans could thrive and outnumber vampires. It makes a certain logical sense, because in the wild, species rarely interbreed, even though they can. Lions and tigers, for example, don't interbreed unless they're forced to in captivity.
So, without this blood bond?
Without the blood bond, it's possible that humans and vampires never would have interbred, and vampire blood wouldn't have been diluted. We would have always been fewer in number than humans because our women are less fertile. But we wouldn't be as rare as we are today.
Rare? Are you dying out? He frowned.
Sadly, yes.
200 vampires in New Orleans. That's what Abe Lincoln had said, in a city of 400,000. Sadness tugged at my heart and my gut. How distressing for Dante to be witnessing the extinction of his people. Why do all babies born in our situation come out human?
Human DNA is obviously dominant. We don't really know why.
Wow.
Stupid, but I had no idea what to say.
And you never knew about the blood bond?
No, not until Bill researched it. It does explain what has happened between us, though. It also explains how the interbreeding started.
Why didn't it continue happening, then, the blood bond, I mean?
Once humans sufficiently outnumbered vampires, maybe it wasn't necessary.
Why is it happening now?
I wish I knew.
Remember that music we heard in the bar that night? That Lucy and River and no one else heard?
Yeah, I still hear it when we're together. It's the blood bond, according to Bill.
I smiled weakly. I really just wanted it to be from our love being so strong.
He touched my cheek gently. I will always believe that's part of it, no matter what Bill's research says.
I walked into his arms. Do you miss being able to smell other people?
He chuckled into my hair. Not at all. You're the only person I want to smell for the rest of my life.
Then I jerked backward. But before, did all the vampires in a blood bond lose their smell?
Yeah, another thing that led to our demise. Back then, a vampire without the ability to smell a human coming after him was very vulnerable.
Why would we do that to you?
I honestly don't believe it was intentional. Humans as a species were reacting to their survival instinct. Just a part of evolution. Survival of the fittest. They were eliminating a potential threat to their survival. Vampires were, in essence, predators of humans and animals at that time. They took blood for survival. Humans found a way to counteract that. Like I said, this all most likely happened before either humans or vampires were self-aware.
Doesn't it seem strange that it's happening now, to us?
He sighed. Yes, very strange. But Aaron, I'm not sorry it's happening.
Neither am I. I wanted to say those words, wanted to, with my whole heart and soul, but they didn't come out.
5. Dante. Her lack of agreement didn't go unnoticed. I found it odd, especially after how upset she'd been when she thought I was saying our love was the result of some outside force. Still, I held on to her, embracing her warmth, all the while knowing time was what she needed. Time to accept all of me. Patience was a virtue I didn't have a lot of, but I needed it now. I'd find it, and I'd give her the time she needed. I had no other choice if I wanted this to work. Forcing her into anything was not an option. In the meantime, she would allow me to feed, and we would make love and take each other to new heights. Also in the meantime, I would ramp up my work on finding who had been taking her blood. No one would take what was mine. Never again. I pulled away slightly. You need to sleep now.
I should, but I'm off tonight, remember? We have a date to go to the quarter?
I shook my head. I've changed my mind about that.
Why?
It's not safe for you.
How can you say that? You'll be with me.
I will. And I will die protecting you if I have to. I could fend off 3, maybe 4 strong males. But I don't know what these Claiborne vamps are after.
They just want blood. That's what Abe Lincoln says.
Abe Lincoln or Red Rover or whoever he is isn't exactly a reliable source. River had said the Claiborne vamps were a gang of thugs. B had told us they ran drugs for a female boss. No way was Aaron going near any of them.
Can we go anyway? We'll go to Bourbon Street, or Royal, where it's always bustling. I could use a night out, Dante, even if it's just dinner or something else quiet.
Though it went against my instincts, I couldn't deny her a night out. I kissed her forehead. All right, baby. You try to get some sleep now, okay? I couldn't leave Aaron while she was sleeping, not when we still didn't know who'd been stealing her blood. If only I had the vampire texts with me to do some research. Had Bill gotten the translation for me yet? I punched his number into my still new phone. Hi, Dante, he said. Hi, Bill. How is that translation on the texts coming? I haven't heard. I'll check into it. Good. I need to do some research on this blood bond. There's nothing in the text about a blood bond. I've read the parts I'm having translated. Have you? Because you told me the texts were taught through symbolry and example. True. All the necessary components are passed down that way. Why? Why not just read them? We've always done it this way. Then how do you know you get everything accurately? Stories change as they're handed down. I don't know, Dante. This is how we've always done it. Then I'm ready. Teach me. I've been looking into that. I'm not sure I can. What? To understand the symbolry, you need a young mind. Are you saying I'm too fucking old? I'm only saying that I ended the call. Hanging up was childish, and it would no doubt piss him off, but I was sick to death of his antics. Since I'd returned, he'd been hedging about teaching me what I needed to know. Why? I still wasn't sure, but the grandfather I remembered would never have kept necessary information from me. I did a quick search to find a linguist who could translate old French. I was about to send an email when... What was I thinking? I couldn't give a sacred vampire document to just anyone. I needed a vampire linguist. My only choices were to wait for Bill's linguist to complete the project, and I honestly wasn't sure there even was a Bill's linguist, or learn old French and read them myself. I'd studied French for 2 years in high school. How difficult could it be? Again, I searched. Nothing. Since old French was no longer spoken, apparently no one was around to teach it. But if I studied Latin along with today's French, maybe I'd get the gist of what I needed, and might be able to make sense of the text. I did some more searches. Apparently the ancestor of old French was not Latin, but something known as Vulgar Latin, a spoken form that evolved during the Roman Empire and differed from the literary classical Latin that was still taught today. So much for that idea. However, I did find some tables that showed some of the differences between Old French and Modern French. Since I hadn't yet gotten a job, I really needed to get on that. I had the time to study. I'd begin with French. I quickly found an online course and enrolled, and keeping a printout of the tables nearby, glided through the first 10 lessons. My memory from high school French was better than I'd anticipated. I fixed myself a small snack in Aaron's kitchen, and then went back upstairs and lay down next to her. Now all I had to do was get my hands on Bill's vampire texts, without him knowing. That would be complicated, but I had no choice. That's how we've always done it. Bill's words played over and over in my mind. Why had it always been done through symbolry and example, and why had no one questioned the approach? If no one had actually read the text, how did anyone know the material taught was accurate? Why hadn't they been translated long before now? It'd obviously been translated previously. The text had been around for millennia, according to what I'd been taught. Old French didn't exist when the text originated. Who had written them? What was their original importance? I'd never known Bill to take a dogmatic approach to anything, which is why his stance confounded me. That's how we've always done it. In other words, don't question it. Pure dogma. Bill had changed in 10 years. I'd known it since I returned, but why? Were the texts a Bible of sorts? Was it a religious document rather than a historical one? We'd always been told it was history with some philosophy, but why such a sacred approach? That's how we've always done it. Not anymore. I was going to read the vampire texts from beginning to end. If there was anything about a blood bond in the pages of that tome, I would find it.
6. Aaron.
Bonjour, ma petite.
I opened my eyes. Dante lay next to me, propped up on one arm, his other hand stroking my cheek.
Tu es belle, conditore.
French. I recognized the language, but I didn't understand most of it. Bonjour meant hello or good day. Belle meant beauty or beautiful. Thank you, Beauty and the Beast. I'd taken Spanish for a year in high school, and in nursing school, I hadn't been required to take a language. French, I said.
Oui.
It's a beautiful language, but I don't speak it. English, please. I smiled.
I said, you're beautiful when you sleep.
I smiled, my insides melting into a puddle of sop. That's sweet. Why are you speaking French today?
I studied it in high school, and I found an online course. I need to translate some stuff.
Oh, what?
Just some things I found at Bill's. It's in old French, and I think I can do it if I brush up on my French.
What kind of things? Documents?
Yeah, more or less. I'm trying to find out more about what's happening between us, the blood bond.
But you said it hadn't happened in a long time.
Not that has been documented, at least not that I know of. I may be chasing a phantom, but I have to try.
She nodded. I get it. Will you share with me what you find out?
Of course. This affects you as much as it affects me.
I yawned and stretched. Are we still on for tonight?
Yes, love, but we're staying in well-lit areas.
Fine with me. I just want a nice meal and some time with you. I got out of bed and smiled. I need a shower. Care to join me? His eyes darkened. He didn't need to feed yet. No, this was pure lust in his smoky eyes. He wanted me, on a platter. I was only too willing to serve myself up. I walked swiftly to the bathroom and started the shower. We were already naked. When the water was good and steamy, I stepped in, Dante behind me. I turned. His fangs were out, and my God, he was sex on a stick. I'd never known elongated canine teeth could be so enticing.
I want you, Aaron.
His low voice came out with a growl. I bit my lower lip, the throbbing between my legs already intense. One look from him, one simple touch, and I was jelly. He turned me around so I was facing the wall, and with no preliminaries thrust into me from behind, a low moan caressing the back of my neck. Then chills as he scraped his teeth along the sensitive skin of my shoulder. Bite me. The words formed but didn't emerge.
I don't need blood, baby. I just need you.
He plunged into me even harder. He hadn't read my mind. He knew it instinctively. We were just so in tune with each other that he knew what I was thinking and feeling. Amazing. He slammed into me again and again, all the while holding one arm around my waist so I wouldn't go crashing against the wall. Always thinking of me, of my safety. Then my thoughts took a back seat to the incredible orgasm that began to roll through me. The warm water from the showerhead pelted us as I cried out in rapture, in complete euphoria. Colors and vibrations dazzled around me, and he thrust and he thrust and he thrust. And, God, Aaron, so good. I love you, Aaron. I love you so fucking much. He held himself inside me, and as I continued to fly, each spasm of his cock took me higher and higher into the clouds. When our respective climaxes subsided in tandem, we stood, joined, letting the shower massage and cleanse us. He lowered his head and kissed my neck, a sweet and tender kiss, his fangs scraping my skin gently. Then he slowly turned me around and clasped me to him, our wet bodies touching everywhere.
I needed that,
he said.
So did I murmured against his shoulder. No, I mean, I really needed that.
I pulled away slightly. You think I didn't? He regarded me, his eyes still smoldering.
I think you haven't quite accepted everything between us yet.
I sighed. I couldn't fault his observation. In the heat of our passion, I accepted him without question. But back on Earth? Not quite. I'm trying, Dante.
I know, love. I'm not rushing you. No pressure.
He grabbed my shower poof from its hook, squeezed some shower gel onto it, and began rubbing it over my shoulders. I closed my eyes, inhaling the moist steam. He was so patient with me, and I appreciated it so much. I needed his patience. But I also knew one thing. His patience wouldn't last forever. Dante ordered a bottle of champagne at dinner. Are we celebrating something? I asked.
Just us. That's worth a celebration, don't you think?
I smiled. Sure, I suppose. The server poured two flutes and left the rest of the bottle in an ice bucket. Dante picked up his glass.
A nous.
There he went with the French again. To us?
Very good. I'll have you speaking French in no time.
I laughed. I doubt that. Are you French? He nodded.
Gabriel is a French name. It's pronounced Gabriel in French. Bill's real name is Guillaume, which is French for William. My grandmother's name was Marceline, and my mother's name was Vivienne.
7. Dante. Saying my mother's name made me pause. I barely remembered her, rarely thought about her. Now, with M's pregnancy, my mother had been more and more on my mind.
Beautiful,
Aaron said.
What was your father's name?
Julian. His name was Julian.
Is that French?
No. Julian is Roman, and his twin brother's name was Braden, which is Irish. I guess my grandparents got tired of French names.
So Braden was River's father, then?
Yeah.
Does he have any brothers or sisters?
I shook my head. His mother died after conceiving her second child, from an ectopic pregnancy.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry.
It is what it is. Pregnancy is still very difficult for vampire women. She clasped her hand to her mouth. What?
I'm sorry. You must be worried about your sister.
M's pregnancy wasn't something I could discuss with Aaron out of respect for my sister's privacy, but I hated keeping it from her, especially because the baby M carried was Aaron's niece or nephew. But it wasn't my news to tell. Amelia had to tell Jay before any of us could say anything. My neck chilled, and something tugged at me. The urge to tell Aaron everything, the truth. Was it part of the blood bond? I had no idea, but I'd find out as soon as I could, as soon as I could read the text. Aaron took a sip of her champagne.
It's delicious. The bubbles tickle my nose.
You're cute. I smiled.
So are you. And I mean that in a totally masculine alpha way.
I let out a laugh. Being with her made me so happy, almost made me forget how much I'd been through, how much lay ahead of me. She was still out there. She had let me go. But she'd been so obsessed with me and my blood, surely she wouldn't give up that easily.
You're right. I won't.
Damn it. Not tonight. She would not ruin my night out with the woman of my dreams.
Not the woman of your dreams. The woman of your nightmares.
I stood abruptly.
Dante?
Sorry, love. Just need to use the restroom. I walked swiftly toward the back of the restaurant, only to be guided toward the other side by a busboy. I raced into the bathroom and grabbed onto a sink, my breath coming in rapid pants. I looked in the mirror. Drips of perspiration slid down my forehead. I grabbed a paper towel from the dispenser and wiped my face. Then I wet it with cold water and slid it over my skin again. She was in my head. I fought her off most of the time, but she was always there. She had fed from me, forced me to feed from her. What did that mean? What did it mean for the blood bond with Aaron? What had she done to my blood to change the Rh factor? And what did that mean for me, for Aaron, for the rest of my family? No one else was in the bathroom, thankfully, so I looked at my reflection in the mirror and spoke aloud. You will not control me.
I already control you.
You do not! I grasped the edge of the sink once more. The edges of my irises were indeed lighter, and my gums itched as my fangs began to descend.
You are strong, Dante. My blood has made you strong. Her blood is making you even stronger.
Chills erupted through my whole body. She knew. She knew about Aaron, about the blood bond. Get out of my head! I hurled my fist into the mirror, shattering the glass. Then I stared at the fragmented image before me, my face cut into thousands of pieces to render me unrecognizable, the most apt image of me I'd seen in a while. I was unrecognizable, right down to my blood. She had changed me. She'd done more than hold me captive, torture me, and steal my blood. She'd changed me in a literal way, a way I didn't understand, didn't want to understand. And Aaron? I'd dragged Aaron into my life, forced her into this blood bond. I should have left her alone. But what if I had? Bill said she would die without giving me blood once the bond had been formed. Bill. He'd been so strange since I'd returned. Secretive, unworried. Blood coagulated on my knuckles and I wrapped the wet towel I'd used previously around them. Once the bleeding had stopped, I gripped the porcelain edges once more. Inhale, exhale. Inhale, exhale. You will stay out of my head. Someone walked in and I let go of the sink. You okay, man? The guy asked, his gaze edging toward the shattered glass of the mirror. Yeah, fine. What must I look like? Why?
You just look a little rattled.
I'm good. I walked past him, out the door, and back into the dining room. Erin sat studying her menu, her back to me. Inhale, exhale. Inhale, exhale. Had to appear normal to her. Couldn't let her worry. I'd already forced her into a life she wasn't ready for. I pasted a smile on my face and walked around to sit across from her.
Hey, she said. I was starting to get worried. Everything okay?
Yeah, fine. Do you see anything you like? I gestured to her menu.
I'm thinking redfish tonight. How about you?
I haven't looked yet, but I'll be having a steak. Very rare.
Of course. That's what you ordered.
Her mouth dropped open.
Is that why you like rare beef? Because of the...
No, love. There's no blood in meat to nourish us. Most of the blood is drained from the animal before it's butchered. I just like my beef rare. A lot of humans do. She reddened.
Drained before it's butchered, then sold to vampires, right?
She didn't wait for me to respond.
Of course. I knew that. I even like it now. Maybe I'll have a steak with you.
Have what you want. You don't need to have steak just to please me.
I wasn't trying to...
She erupted in giggles.
I guess I was. Isn't that funny? I've never ordered a meal to please anyone but myself before. What was I thinking? I'm having the redfish, and then I want bananas Foster for dessert.
Famous in New Orleans, I said. You shall have it.
Can you believe I've lived here for 3 years and I've never tried it?
We'll remedy that tonight. The server came by and took our orders, and I refilled our flutes. I was raising my glass to my lips when, ow, I swiped the back of my neck.
What is it?
Erin's eyebrows shot to her forehead. Just a chill. I'm fine. But it hadn't been just a chill. It had been a spear of ice jabbed into my neck. And I knew, despite my rational mind telling me otherwise, Aaron and I were not alone here.
8. Aaron. We need to leave. I widened my eyes. Had I heard him right? What? I'm not kidding, Aaron. We need to leave here, now.
But we already ordered.
He threw a few bills on the table. I know, and I'm sorry. Trust me.
He stood. The server walked toward us.
Sir? I'm sorry. We won't be staying.
Dante said.
Please cancel our dinners. The bills on the table should cover the champagne.
I can cork it for you, sir.
No, thank you.
He grabbed my hand and pulled me toward the exit. When we were out on the street, I turned to him. What was that about?
I'm not sure I can explain it. Just a feeling.
You'd better try to explain it, Dante. We were supposed to have a nice dinner.
It didn't feel right, being there.
It was just a restaurant.
We'll go to a different one, if you're still hungry.
Yes, I'm still hungry, aren't you?
Honestly, the sensation kind of zapped my appetite.
What sensation are you talking about?
He shook his head. I never believed much in the paranormal.
Dante, you are part of the paranormal.
He shook his head again, more vehemently this time. I'm not, only in myth. Vampires are a mortal species, just like any other.
A mortal species with the ability to glamour their prey.
Some humans have that ability. Hypnosis is a real thing, Aaron. It can be learned.
Some humans have psychic abilities, too. Is that paranormal? My mind was muddled. What was real and what wasn't? I had no idea anymore. Are you saying you felt a paranormal presence in the restaurant? All I know is that I felt something, and it wasn't good, Aaron. It felt dark and ominous. Evil. It felt evil. Chills scattered over my arms, and I rubbed them. I didn't believe in the paranormal either, but what Dante said freaked me out more than a little. He had run to the bathroom quickly. Had he felt it then? Before I could ask, he grabbed my arm and pulled me down the street to where a musician was playing guitar and singing folk songs.
It's better here,
he said. Meaning?
I don't feel the presence anymore. We're safe now.
You're really scaring me, Dante.
I know, and I'm sorry. But we had to leave that restaurant. Something wasn't right.
But everything's fine now, in the middle of the sidewalk?
Yeah, I can't explain it. Come on, we can find another restaurant.
Are you kidding? My appetite just flew the coop. I thought you said yours did as well.
Yeah, it did. I'm pretty creeped out.
I sighed. You're not the only one. He led me to an outdoor cafe, and we grabbed a small table. I need to ask you something, I said.
Go ahead.
Do ghosts exist? He let out a strained laugh.
I never thought so.
What is that supposed to mean?
It means I've always been taught that ghosts don't exist, that the supernatural veil that draws vampires to New Orleans is a result of the voodoo and witchcraft practitioners and the cosmic energy they draw down during their spells and prayer.
Prayer?
There are a lot of devout Catholics here, too, and prayer is just another type of spell casting. It's drawing on the energy of God or the universe or whatever you want to call it.
I wasn't an overly religious person, but this was sounding a little sacrilegious, even to me.
Prayer?
Really?
Prayers are energy, Aaron. Every time you commune with a higher power, you're drawing down energy.
And all this?
The prayers, the spells, everything. It all contributes to the supernatural veil around the city. Vampires are drawn to that. A lot of humans are as well.
But ghosts
don't exist. At least that's what I was taught. That when you die, you become part of the energy of the universe, and that's what is drawn down here in New Orleans.
So you cease to exist?
Yes, as a living creature, but you continue to exist as energy. Energy can't just disappear, it has to go somewhere.
Then why can't ghosts exist?
I don't have a clue. I only know what I was taught. That when a person dies, he no longer exists as a unique individual. He becomes part of the cosmic energy.
Then what were you feeling at the restaurant?
I don't know. And I don't know if ghosts don't exist. Bill apparently believes in them.
I dropped the fork I was fidgeting with on the table. He does?
Yeah, he told me so. Big news to me. Apparently a lot of what I was taught as a child is wrong.
You believe him?
I didn't. But I can't deny what I felt at the restaurant. There was a supernatural presence near me, and it was messing with my mind. I felt it. I felt an icicle stabbing my neck, and I had some unwelcome thoughts. We weren't alone there, Aaron.
A server approached us, but neither of us were hungry anymore. I ordered a sweet tea, just because we couldn't sit here without ordering something. Dante ordered a black coffee. When our drinks came, Dante raised his cup to his lips. His fangs were protruding. Are you okay? I asked. He nodded.
They come out when something bothers me. It's a defense mechanism. Most vampires are better at controlling it than I am.
Why is that?
Because...
He sighed.
I missed a lot while I was gone.
Oh. I wanted to push him on it. Wanted him to tell me everything. I wanted to know everything. Not because I was nosy, but because I loved him. But he'd tell me when he could. I was still having trouble dealing with some things myself, and until I could give him all of me, I couldn't expect the same of him, even though I wanted it. We both jerked when some clattering noises drew our attention. I drew in a breath. Would you look at that?
9. Dante. The musician stopped playing his guitar, all eyes focused on a large woman walking toward us, finger cymbals clanging. Oh my God.
is that woman from under the bridge? B,
Aaron said.
What is she doing over here?
I have no idea. She stopped in front of our table.
I knew I'd find you two here.
Did you? I said with skepticism.
I did. I have the site.
So you've told us. What's with the commotion?
B likes to make an entrance. B apparently also likes to refer to herself in the third person,
Aaron said. I chuckled.
I need a moment's your time.
She sat down at our table without being invited.
I'm afraid...
Fine, I said, interrupting Aaron. What do you want?
I came to warn you.
Of what?
I'm not sure.
That's helpful, Aaron rolled her eyes.
You should take me seriously, B said. There are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than I dreamt of in your philosophy.
Shakespeare, Aaron said. Impressive.
Don't discount Shakespeare, B said. He was an amazing metaphysician. He knew more than most in his time, as do I.
If she knew so much, why did she live under Claiborne Bridge? Looking at Aaron, I could see she was wondering the same thing. I secretly hoped she wouldn't voice her question, though, as I didn't want B to get angry and leave. After what I'd experienced in the restaurant, I wanted to hear what this odd woman had to say.
I'm not discounting Shakespeare, Aaron said. I'm just wondering what you and he could possibly have in common. Nothing but an understanding that there's so much more to our world than our brains are capable of processing.
I'll give you that one, Aaron said.
I'm a nurse. I know we only use a tiny percentage of our brains. Then you'll understand why I can't tell you exactly what I'm sensing. But I am sensing something.
She looked directly at me.
There's a dark presence following you.
Aaron's lips trembled. I said nothing.
You've already sensed it,
B said. I may have.
I wish I could guide you, but this is something new to me. I've never felt such darkness.
Is it a single entity? I asked.
I'm not sure. Do ghosts exist?
Aaron demanded. B nodded.
They do.
Aaron rubbed at her forehead.
Oh, God. What is it?
B asked.
Nothing much. Just the whole constancy of my universe has been bowled over.
Mine too, believe it or not. Vampires might be new to Aaron, but the rest of this stuff was new to both of us. I was now dealing with were-creatures, ghosts, and seers existing, not to mention some demonic presence that had apparently taken enough of a liking to me to follow me around.
Not a demon, dearie. A dark presence.
And I was getting damned sick of people reading my mind. Demons aren't real.
They're real. But they have no interest in you. At least, not at the moment.
Thank God for small favors. Aaron had gone pale. I placed my hand over hers.
Just be careful,
B said.
I don't leave the bridge unless the need is great. I felt I needed to warn you. Heed my warning.
She stood and walked away. When she was a few yards beyond us, she began clattering her finger symbols once more.
That was freaky,
Aaron said. It was. And I'm not sure it was actually B.
What do you mean?
The way she spoke. Aaron nodded.
True. The first time we met her, she said ain't, and her grammar was atrocious, and now she's quoting Shakespeare and telling us to heed her warning?
Ain't isn't a huge issue. You're not from the South, but a lot of well-educated people use it. I'm talking more about her general demeanor.
Good point,
Aaron said.
She was acting differently. But Dante, that was B. There can't possibly be more than one of them. That would mean my universe is even more fucked up than I think it is.
You're right. Of course it was. But she was different somehow. And why the finger symbols? Why announce she was coming like that? You know what I mean? Truth was, I didn't have a clue what I meant, and trying to convince Aaron that some entity had taken over B would freak her out even more. You want to go home?
Yeah, I do.
I stood and offered Aaron my hand, when icy chills stabbed into my neck once more. Dante. A voice spoke in my head. I stiffened. I hadn't heard that voice in over 10 years.
10. Aaron. Dante brought me home. He wouldn't need to feed until morning, and I was used to being awake at night, so I decided to work on the research Dr. Bonneville asked me to do. At $50 an hour, I couldn't refuse. I fired up my computer while Dante paced around the townhome, Are you going to do that all night? I asked. Sorry, he said, just thinking. I need to talk to River. And call him. He's on duty. He went back to work after his medical leave. Oh, then call Bill. He sighed. Yeah, I should. I should go see him. Will you be okay here? Of course. You can stand outside and listen to me lock my deadbolt. I'm just going to be here on the computer until it's bedtime at 8 or 9 in the morning. He kissed me goodbye, and I latched my deadbolt, committing it to memory. I always locked my door. Why I'd gone haywire recently and forgotten, I'd never understand. After a couple hours of researching and finding nothing except religious stuff explaining the correlation between blood type and hair and eye colors, I gave up. I'd have to tell Dr. Bonneville I couldn't find what she wanted. I took copious notes because I wanted my $100. According to one site, all B-positive people had brown eyes and dark skin. I was so far from that. I rose and made myself a small snack. We'd skipped dinner after all, and now I was a bit hungry. Then I sat back down again and found my fingers typing in Juan Mendez Jr. Jay had gotten back to me with Mrs. Moore's son's phone number, and I had been so preoccupied with Dante that I hadn't tried to contact him or Mrs. Moore's husband. I still had a strange feeling that Mrs. Moore had known something I needed to know. I'd brushed it off after ruminating on it, but now, with Bee visiting us and telling us something Dante needed to know, I wondered if I should be taking my intuition more seriously. I did some searching. Juan Mendez Jr. was a retired attorney who lived in Baton Rouge. I'd have to wait until morning to call him. He wouldn't be up at, I checked the time on my monitor, 2 a.m. Neither would Mrs. Moore's husband, who was suffering from advanced lung cancer and lived in hospice care. Nothing more to do until waking hours. Now I was bored. My fridge was nearly empty. What could it hurt to go to the grocery store? I usually shopped at the 24-hour Walmart nearby on my nights off. I promised Dante I'd lock my door, but I didn't promise I wouldn't go anywhere. I'd gone shopping 100 times during the night, and never once had I met... My skin chilled. What if I'd been glamored while I was out and about during the night? No, Dante had said I'd been fed on sometime during my last work shift. Going shopping wouldn't harm me. Besides, I was itching to do something productive. I changed into jeans and a t-shirt and left. I'd filled my cart with groceries and was headed toward checkout when I spied a familiar face.
Hello, Aaron,
Abe Lincoln said, striding toward me. Oh, hi.
What are you doing out at night?
I work nights, remember? This is my night off.
Oh.
What are you doing here? I wasn't sure what to call him. Last time I'd seen him, he hadn't answered to Abe, but had come running when I hollered, Red Rover.
Meeting someone.
Who? He looked over his shoulder and then inched closer to me.
A vampire,
he whispered. I resisted the urge to burst out laughing. You're meeting a vampire in Walmart?
I meet them wherever they tell me to.
I peered behind him, shuddering. Where is he?
He's not here yet. Do you want to meet him?
Did I? I desperately wanted to find out who was stealing my blood, but Dante had warned that my scent was irresistible to vampires. Any vampire who fed on Abe Lincoln didn't share Dante's scruples about not feeding on humans. I cleared my throat and decided to change the subject. Why did you run away the day we bought you lunch?
A ghost told me to.
I began to roll my eyes, but stopped abruptly, remembering my conversation with Dante about ghosts earlier. What ghost? Was it the same ghost you saw with the vampire the night you came into the ER? He shook his head.
No. That was a good ghost.
I chilled again. There are good and bad ghosts?
Of course. Why wouldn't there be? There are good and bad people, aren't there? Everything comes in good and bad.
He had a point. How did you know the ghost you saw that day was bad?
I just knew. I got a weird feeling, so I ran.
What could a ghost do to you?
I don't know, and I wasn't interested in finding out.
This was getting way too freaky. Look, I need to pay for my groceries. Do you need anything? I'll buy you a sandwich or something, bottle of water, whatever you want.
That's nice of you to offer, but the vampire will buy me a hot meal once we're done.
Right. I headed toward the checkout line. It was nice to see you.
You too. Wait for me after you load up your groceries. I'll take you to meet the vampire.
I opened my mouth to object, but then changed my mind against my better judgment. My curiosity won out. I began placing my items on the conveyor belt.
Aaron,
he said. I turned back toward him. All right, I'll wait.
11. Dante. I didn't appreciate you hanging up on me, Bill said. He sat on the couch in the living room while I paced. I apologize, though I wasn't the least bit sorry. You're going to wear down that Persian rug, he eyed my feet. I plunked down into a recliner. Sorry. What do you need, Dante? It seems you only come to me when you need my help. I needed his help more than anything, but so far he'd refused to tell me what I needed to know, what was in the text. I was at dinner with Aaron, I said, and I felt a presence. Oh? Something messed with my mind, took me back to... It was still so hard to say. To when I was in captivity. It took me back to her while I was in the men's room. Then, when I got back to the table with Aaron, I felt an icy stab on the back of my neck. I don't know how else to describe it. I just knew we had to get out of there. I see. Did he really see? I wasn't sure anymore. Though I was hesitant, I went on to explain our subsequent run-in with B on Royal Street earlier. It was the strangest thing. This homeless woman, who says she's a voodoo high priestess, was quoting Shakespeare. Just because someone is homeless doesn't mean she's not educated. I know that. But the first time I met this woman, she didn't seem educated. That's not helping. But I didn't say it. Seconds passed, then minutes. I was about to say something when Bill finally spoke. I believe the woman. I believe something dark has targeted you. How can you believe that? I've learned much in the years you were gone, Dante, a lot of which I didn't want to believe, but I find I have no choice. What is it, then, this thing that has supposedly targeted me? I wish I knew. Damn! I brought down my fist on the soft arm of the tan leather recliner. Calm down. Calm down, really? You have no idea what I've been through, and now all I want is peace, a life of peace and love with Aaron. Why me? I don't know, but I'm willing to bet it has something to do with your blood. I hadn't told Bill yet that my blood type had mutated, or been tampered with. And, he continued, I bet it also has something to do with your father and uncle. What could it possibly have to do with them? I have reason to believe they were the primary targets when you were taken. What? Julian and Braden are male vampire identical twins. You know how rare that is. Identical vampire twins hadn't been documented since the 14th century, and your grandmother lived through their birth. In fact, she had what amounted to an effortless pregnancy for a vampire female. Everything about your father and uncle is extremely rare and worth studying. You think they've been... Nausea crept up my throat as I envisioned my dead father and uncle being autopsied, cut apart, and put under a microscope. No. They were alive somewhere. I'd been kept alive. If they were that rare, whoever took them wouldn't kill them. I had to believe that. Had to. I think you were taken to draw them out, Dante. Whoever took you knew they would go after you. My mind raced. Then why keep me? And why take me instead of River? We were both there that night. I don't have an answer to either of those questions. Then why do you think whoever took me was actually after them? For the reasons I just stated. Their rarity. Then they might still be alive. We have to find them. Bill sighed. How much are you ready to believe now, Dante? What do you mean? I told you recently that you're safe because a ghost is watching over you. I jolted. I hadn't believed in ghosts then, but now I wasn't so sure. Is this dark thing that has targeted me a ghost? I don't know yet. B said it wasn't a demon. That's good to know. We need to assume this B is telling the truth, at least for now. Demons exist, then. I've realized so much in the years you've been gone. Yes, demons exist, unfortunately, but not in the way you might think. When evil embodies a living thing, anyone can gain immortality and become a demon. I pulled at my hair. This was all too much, too fucking much. Dante. The voice again, the one I'd heard in the restaurant that had sounded familiar. Very familiar. Dante, Bill said, his tone ominous. Your father is standing behind you.
12. Aaron. After 15 minutes of waiting in the well-lit parking lot, I rolled my eyes and gave up. Abe Lincoln, as I'd always known, was delusional. Maybe vampires did exist. I pretty much had to accept that. But Abe Lincoln didn't actually know any, no matter what he and B said. I was done chasing zebras. I opened my car door. I jerked when a clammy hand gripped my other arm. I turned. Abe Lincoln. You nearly scared the piss out of me. I yanked my arm away.
Where are you going? I thought you wanted to meet the vampires.
Vampires? As in plural? No thanks. I changed my mind. I just want to go home.
But they want to meet you. I told them all about you.
Not tonight, Abe. Sorry. He grabbed my arm again, harder this time. How did a skinny homeless man have such strength?
They want to meet you behind Walmart.
Oh, hell no. I'm sorry, I can't, but tell them thanks. I yanked my arm away once more and dived into my car, slamming the door shut and knocking Abe onto his ass on the asphalt. I didn't care. I was so out of there. I started my engine and peeled out of the parking lot, my heart hammering.
13. Dante. A chill swept over the back of my neck, and I stood and turned. Nothing. You're off your rocker, I said to Bill. Believe me, I thought I was too at first. There's no one here, I said. You're wrong. He's there. I can see him as plain as day behind the chair. He just appeared. Then tell me why I can't. Because you don't believe. You need to let go of your skepticism, Dante. You taught me long ago that ghosts don't exist, Bill. Let the dead join the cosmic energy force and cease to have any uniqueness. I did. I taught your father that as well. I was wrong. How do you know? He laughed. Because your father is standing right next to you now. Can you hear him? Of course, just as if you were alive. Dante. The voice again. It was his voice, my father's voice. But I didn't hear him out loud, only in my mind. That's how it starts, Bill said. You think your head is playing tricks on you, but it's not. Suspend your beliefs, Dante. Suspend everything you thought was reality. And feel. Have faith. How long have you? A day before your return, I began to feel my son's presence. I didn't think anything of it, but the next day you returned. I knew then that I needed to pay more attention to my feelings and intuition. I opened myself up, and Julian spoke to me, in my mind. A day later, I was able to see and hear him. What does he look like? The same as he did when he was alive. You'll be able to see him soon. And what does he think about us having a conversation about him if he's not in the room? I still wasn't convinced he was actually in the room. Before he could answer, I added, Is this why you've been so different since I returned? I'm not sure I know what you're asking. I don't think I've been different at all. Of course not. Now is not the time to get into that anyway. If my father was truly here as a ghost, and I'd heard his voice in my mind 3 times now, that meant 2 things. One, ghosts did exist, but I could hardly wrap my head around that revelation at the moment. No. The second and more important fact was, my father was dead. Dead. He and Uncle Bray weren't alive, as I'd secretly hoped, and I was responsible. If I hadn't been taken, my father and uncle wouldn't have gone after me, and if I hadn't disobeyed them and gone to the quarter on Mardi Gras. I had mourned my father and uncle. I'd been too wrapped up in what was happening between Aaron and me. I hadn't given myself time to grieve, to deal with the feelings that were now plummeting through me like golf ball-sized hail. Could I believe? Could I turn my back on everything I'd been taught? Everything I'd always known as truth? I'd already begun to. Dad? I looked around timidly, feeling like a blind person trying to find a light in the room. He says, I'm here, son. Not only was I blind, but deaf, too. Or Bill was crazy as a loon. A chill swept the back of my neck. I swiped at it. That's your father, Dante. Ghosts have a cold presence. The chill. I'd felt it many times since my return. The first when Jay Hamilton had caught me with a homeless man. Abe Lincoln, the night of my escape. I'd run, and Jay hadn't followed me. Was that because... Dad, I said again, were you there with me that night, when I took clothes from a homeless man and a detective found me? He says, yes, Bill said. The chill, I said, then, in Erin's apartment, she thought she saw someone. He says that was him as well. How could Erin have seen, once you see a ghost, it's easier to keep seeing him, Bill said. That doesn't make any sense. When would Erin have seen him? Bill paused a second, appearing to listen. He says he stopped to help her with her car one day. He's been watching over Erin, too? Yes. Okay, then. Thanks, Dad, I guess. He says he'd do anything for both of you. I let out a huff. This is getting ridiculous. If he's really here, why can't I see him? Why can't I hear him? Because you don't believe yet. You have to have faith, Dante. Faith. The second time he'd used that word. How could I have faith after all I'd been through? Faith was an illusion. Dante. His voice again, in my head. What was he trying to say? I closed my eyes and drew in a breath. Faith. What was faith, anyway? We weren't a religious family. Our faith was rooted in our history, in being good, moral people. Faith was believing without seeing, without having any evidence to substantiate what you accepted as true. It had been hard to believe a blood bond, something I had never heard of and that hadn't happened in ages, existed between Erin and me, but at least I had some evidence to substantiate it. The fact that I could no longer smell other humans, the fact that she kept putting herself in danger without knowing it, the music we heard that no one else could, all those things pointed to the blood. Ice chilled my veins. Panic swelled in me as my heart thundered against my chest like a bass drum. Erin. She was in danger. Adrenaline surged through me, landing in the nerves in my cuspids. They tingled as they descended. Dante? Bill said. Erin, I said, my voice low. I feel her. Something's not right. Are you sure? Bill's question lingered in my ears. I'd been wrong before. I'd rushed to the hospital, certain she was in trouble, only to be wrong. Was I wrong now? I drew in a deep breath and stayed still. I was freaked out for my father, that was all. Calm down. You're imagining things, Dante. Back to my father. I needed evidence, tangible evidence that he was here. But what pointed to my father, a ghost, being in this room? Only Bill telling me so, and I'd stopped putting any faith in what he said weeks ago. Only that, and the chill on the back of my neck. I could ask Erin if someone had helped her with her car. That's what I'd do. I'd call Erin. I reached for my cell phone in my pocket. She burst through the door without knocking, running from the foyer into the living room.
Dante, I'm sorry to barge in, but I...
She looked over my shoulder.
What are you doing here?
14. Erin. I was still trembling from my run-in with Abe in the parking lot. I hadn't bothered knocking. I charged in and ran through the foyer into the living room. Behind Dante stood a stranger I recognized, the one who'd helped me with my car, who'd told me to keep an open mind. An open mind. I'd been sure I saw him in the corner of my living room, but I'd been wrong. My imagination had been playing tricks on me. "Hello, Erin," the stranger said. He'd had a familiar look about him at the time, but I hadn't placed it. Now, seeing him in the same room with Dante and Bill, it was so apparent. He was one of them. A Gabriel vampire. "You're a Gabriel, aren't you?" I said. "I am." "Would you stop talking to thin air?" Dante said, standing. "I'm not. I'm talking to the guy standing be..." I shuddered as a coolness swept over me. "Wait, what?" "I'm Julian Gabriel," the man said. "Dante's father. Bill's son." "Dante can't see him, Erin," Bill said. "He doesn't yet believe."
"Believe what?"
"That I'm real. That I'm here and I'm real."
"That's silly. You're as real as the rest of us."
I stepped forward to touch his arm, only to have my hand whoosh downward. I definitely felt something, but it was spongy and slick, not at all like a person. I pulled my hand up and stared at it, my heart thundering.
"It's okay, Erin," Bill said. "He's here, but he's a ghost."
Dizziness swept over me and I gulped. "What?"
"Erin,"
Dante said.
I can't see him. Are you sure you see him?
Of course I'm sure. But I sure wish I weren't.
My knees wobbled, and Dante steadied me and helped me to a chair.
Apparently my father is here, with us, as a ghost, which means he's dead.
I felt a little sick. The two half-drunk glasses of blood sitting on the coffee table didn't help my queasiness.
You can convince him.
Julian said, you can convince my son that I'm real.
You've got to be kidding me.
I sank my head into my hands. Not only vampires, but now ghosts and demons? According to B, anyway.
What new reality was going to foist itself on me next? Werewolves? Zombies? Dancing lobsters?
You need some water, Aaron?
Bill asked. I shook my head. I think I need some Valium, to be honest.
Baby, you really see him? Hear him?
15. Dante. She nodded into her hands. All right. That was all the evidence I needed. Dad, help me. I trust Aaron. If she sees you, I believe you're here. Dante. Yes, I hear you speaking into my head. I need to hear you like Aaron and Bill hear you. Dante. It might take a little time, son, Bill said. Aaron needs you. Clear as day, but in my head. It was all I needed, though. Baby, why are you here? You said you weren't going anywhere tonight. She lifted her head out of her hands.
I nearly forgot. That's why I came here. I went out to get groceries.
In the middle of the night?
Of course, in the middle of the night. I work nights and sleep days. My nights off are when I do my shopping. Anyway, I ran into Abe Lincoln.
She paused a few seconds.
Yes, he's the one.
Who are you talking to?
Your father, apparently.
Stay out of this, will you? I said to thin air. It's annoying when they can hear you, but I can't. No response. Of course not. I couldn't hear him anyway. He says okay, Bill said, that he understands. Great, I said sarcastically. Then I turned back to Aaron. What happened?
He said he was meeting a vampire at Walmart.
At Walmart?
Yeah, I thought it was weird too, but that's what he said. Anyway, he asked if I wanted to meet the vampire.
And you said yes? Pinpricks covered my skin, and my gums itched.
Well, yeah. We need to find out who's been—
For God's sake, Aaron, I told you how irresistible you smell the vampires. And this is a vampire who has no qualms about feeding on humans. If he's the one who's been feeding on Abe.
I know all that, but I thought—
You weren't thinking at all.
Dante, would you let me finish? I waited in the parking lot for about 15 minutes.
In a parking lot, in the dark, waiting for a vampire.
That's not letting me finish, Dante.
How do you expect me to just let her finish, son? I looked to Bill, but the words hadn't come from him. Dad, I'm here. I can hear you now, but I can't see you. It will come, Bill said. Now let Aaron finish. She's obviously upset. I'm sorry. Go ahead, baby.
So I waited, and then I got sick of waiting, so I went to get in my car, but suddenly Abe Lincoln was there. He told me to come with him, that they wanted to meet me.
They?
Yeah, apparently more than one now, behind Walmart. No way was I going. He persisted, but I yanked my arm away and got in my car and drove straight over here.
My gut churned. Never again would I ignore my intuition. Was this recently, like 20 minutes ago?
Yeah, why?
Nothing. Only it wasn't nothing. I'd felt Aaron, felt that she was in danger. Never again would I ignore my instinct. Thank God she'd gotten away. If she hadn't, I couldn't go there. Especially since it would have been my fault. Please, Aaron, don't ever do anything like this again. Please.
I won't. Trust me. I learned my lesson. I've never been so scared in my whole life. Except for...
She stopped abruptly, her eyes darkening. Except for when she learned what I truly was. She didn't have to say the words. I felt them in my soul as if she'd yelled them from the rooftop. They were a thud to my gut. She still hadn't accepted all of me. She will, son. My father again. Could he read my mind as well? I know what you're thinking. No, I can't read your mind. At least not in the way you imagine. Aaron let out a huff.
All right, what the heck are you people talking about? I feel like I've walked into crazy town.
Baby, you and I need to talk in private. Would you excuse us, Bill? And Dad? Talking to someone I couldn't see was more than a little disturbing. Of course. I ushered Aaron to the bedroom I was using, though I hadn't slept there since I'd started feeding from her. I shut the door. I need to move in with you, I said. She lifted her eyebrows.
What?
You heard me. That's the only way I can keep you safe.
Dante, even if you moved in with me, which you're not going to do, you couldn't be with me all the time. I'm a big girl.
A big girl who got herself into an unsafe situation tonight.
And who also got herself out of it, she said.
Yes, you did. But those vamps have smelled you now, and they will hunger for you. They'll go looking for you.
Well, they won't find me.
How do you know that?
Because you'll be protecting me.
I can't protect you, not if you won't let me move in. I gripped their shoulders. I love you, Aaron. I want to protect you. I need to protect you. Please, if anything happened to you...
Nothing will happen to me. I'm perfectly safe.
Start having your groceries delivered, please, or I'll take you. She nodded.
All right, I agree. I don't like what happened tonight any more than you do. I was scared out of my mind, Dante.
You're safe now. I pulled her to me and crushed my mouth onto hers. She opened and we kissed with a new fire, a fire that came from inside me, a desire to protect her always, to keep her in my arms and away from anything that wanted to do her harm. Vampires. Were they the Claiborne vamps River had mentioned? Thugs, he'd called them. B had said they were drug runners for a female boss. She probably wasn't a vampire because females were rare. I didn't know. I knew only one thing. Aaron had to be protected, and I was the only one who could keep her safe.
16. Aaron. Vampires, ghosts, demons. My universe had been tilted beyond belief. But that didn't matter at the moment, because Dante was kissing me. My nipples hardened as he deepened the kiss, devouring my mouth with his. Our lips slid together, and his thigh went between my legs. I ground against it, my hunger deepening, expanding, until I had to have him. But he broke the kiss, panting. Not with Bill, and I can't even say it. I was panting also, and I squeezed my thighs together to ease the throbbing between them. Didn't help. Your father, I said.
My father,
he repeated. Dante, how did your father die? He sighed.
I don't know. He and my uncle went after me when I disappeared. They never came back.
Ice sliced into me as my hand flew to my mouth. I'm so sorry.
My father is dead because of me.
He turned away from me, his shoulders trembling. I reached forward to touch him, but he inched farther away, as if he could sense me and didn't want to be touched. Dante, your father is here. Wow, totally weird to actually say that. A dead guy was here. Dante turned to face me, his dark eyes sunken.
He's still dead.
Reality was really taking a big hit today. But he's here. You can make whatever peace you need to make with him. He shook his head and let out a sarcastic laugh.
Bill said there was a ghost protecting me. I didn't believe him, of course. It was nonsense, and I figured he was losing it. Ghosts don't exist, after all. That's what we've always believed. But I heard my father's voice today, clear as a bell on Sunday morning. Turns out Bill was right. I just never dreamed the ghost would be my own father.
Who better than your father to be your protector? I couldn't believe the words coming out of my mouth.
In theory, sure. But my father was missing for as long as I was. If he was truly protecting me, then where was he when...
When what?
I can't go there yet. Not with you.
A spear of fear lanced into me. What had Dante been through? Would he ever tell me? Could he? The thought of him enduring anything unpleasant nauseated me. Dante.
It's all right, love. I just can't. Not yet.
There is something you can do, though.
What's that?
You can ask your father. You can find out how he died, why he wasn't protecting you when you needed him to. Maybe he has a good reason.
I can't. Not when I can't look him in the eye. I need to be able to see him, Aaron. Why can everyone see him but me?
I hesitantly touched his forearm, and he didn't jerk away this time. I don't know. I wish I did.
I think I see him because...
Because why?
Because I never realized he was a ghost. I didn't know him, so I had no way of knowing he was dead. He helped me with my car one day when it wouldn't start, and then he told me something. The event raced back into my head. He told me to keep an open mind.
About what?
I smiled. I think he was talking about you. He must have known we were... In fact, I told him I had a date. It was that first night when we went out to dinner. He must have been talking about you, about what you are. God, I still had a hard time with the V word when it came to him. Silence from Dante. He was trying to help. He must have been. He knew it would be hard for me to accept, and he was asking me to keep an open mind. I had no idea what he was talking about at first, and then...
Then what?
I was sure I saw him at home that night, remember? But then he disappeared. Dante slid his index finger over his cheek.
I remember.
There was nothing there, but I felt a draft. He walked swiftly out of the room. Huh? What could I do but follow? He rushed back into the living room.
Dad?
Dante said, looking around.
Are you still here? Yes, son.
You said that coldness on my neck is you.
It is.
Earlier tonight, right before we left the restaurant, that spear in my neck, it was more than a chilly draft.
That was also me, warning you to leave.
What was there? What was following me? I felt it in the bathroom.
I don't know, Dante. It's something I've never encountered before.
Is it a dark presence, like what B said?
Yes, I believe so.
Is it a ghost?
I don't think so. It's not visible to me.
I took in the conversation, still not able to wrap my mind around all of it. Julian Gabriel stood in my vision, looking as solid as Bill and Dante, yet Dante still couldn't see him. His gaze flitted around the room, as if he were trying to zoom in on something that was out of his reach. I think you need to talk to your father alone, Dante. I should go.
No,
he said.
You're not going out there again without me at your side. It's not safe.
I opened my mouth but closed it before anything came out. I could take care of myself, but I'd had a huge scare, and right now it wasn't worth arguing about. All right, and I'll be happy to go back into your bedroom so you can talk to your father and grandfather in private. This time, he opened his mouth. He was going to tell me to stay, but I knew he wasn't ready to talk freely in front of me. I gestured him not to speak. Please, let me do this for you. I understand what you need right now. Without letting him argue, I walked out of the kitchen and back into his bedroom, shutting the door behind me.
17. Dante. She's a special girl, Dante, my father said. Very understanding. Hearing a voice out of thin air was really fucking with my head. She is special, no doubt. I need her, and I really wish I could see who the hell I'm talking to. It will come. It took a little while for me, too. Bill stood. Let's move to the kitchen. I need a snack. I had no appetite at the moment except for Aaron, but I, along with my ghost father, I assumed, followed Bill into the kitchen. I was as surprised as the rest of you, my father said after Bill and I had sat down at the kitchen table. We've never believed in ghosts, despite the alleged hauntings all around New Orleans. I guess we got a little full of ourselves, as a species that no one else believed existed. I need to know, Dad, if you're really here to protect me. Where were you when... I couldn't even say the words. The wounds were still so raw and real. Dante, when Bray and I went after you, we knew the risk we were taking. Bill seems to think you and Uncle Bray were the primary target of whoever took me, but I can tell you. I drew in a deep breath, gathering my courage. The person who took me used me, stole my blood, let her goons torture me. But I couldn't say that to the man who'd fathered me, not yet. It was too humiliating. If that wasn't her primary purpose, why didn't she let me go? Bill and I have discussed that, he said. We think she became infatuated with you and decided to keep you. But then she let me go. I escaped, but she arranged it. I'm almost sure of it. Yes, and we need to figure out why. I shook my head. I have questions first. Many, many questions. Then ask, Bill said. I need to see him. I'm here. I will answer as best I can, my father said. You'll see me when you're ready to. I'm ready now. Dante, Bill said, I have been telling you since you returned that there are certain things you're not ready to know yet. This should prove that to you. If you were ready to see your father's ghost, your eyes would let you. I heaved a sigh, no use arguing. Apparently I no longer had control over my vision. Great. I had so many questions for my father, so I'd have to deal with him being invisible for the moment. How did you die, Dad? Where is Uncle Bray? What did they do to you? Why didn't you protect me while I was captive? One at a time, son. First, I only died recently, and it was by my own hand. A slice of rage hit me full force. You killed yourself? Why would you do that? Dante, Bill said. Let him explain. I don't know where Brayden is. We weren't held together. He is still alive. How do you know? For one, I would have seen him by now in the Netherworld. You can see others? Only those who have recently crossed over. But recently doesn't have the same meaning to us as it does to you. To us, recent is as long as 10 years. So yes, I would have seen Bray by now, if he were dead. As much as I hoped my uncle was still alive, my mind kept going back to what my father had done. Why? Why would you take your own life? I shook my head, trying desperately to understand. Very simple, he said. Your mother told me to. My mother? She's been gone over 20 years. You just said she came to me in a dream. All who have crossed over have that ability when the need is dire. Have you ever had a dream, son, where you could swear it had meaning? You could swear in some way it was real? I had. About Aaron. About her. I nodded. That's how this was. She came to me in a dream. I knew without a doubt that it was Vivian, and she was still as beautiful as ever. My mother. I'd been thinking a lot about her since Em's pregnancy. Did my father even know about that? He continued, She told me you were still alive and you needed me. She gave me explicit instructions where to find what I needed. She told me I'd become a ghost and I could watch over you and protect you. She said you had a purpose to fulfill, a nearly divine purpose, and you needed to be protected so you could fulfill your destiny. I arched my brows nearly off my forehead. What? I'm just me. I've been through hell, but there's no way I have some divine purpose. Nearly divine, was how she put it. And no, she didn't elaborate. How am I supposed to deal with any of this? You will deal with what you have to deal with, Bill said. You're a Gabriel vampire, and your strength will see you through. It has already. It couldn't help me escape for 10 years. I'm not talking about your physical strength, Dante. I hadn't let her break me. That much was true. But at times I'd said what she wanted, did what she wanted, just to avoid the torture, to avoid losing a body part. At times I actually believed what I was saying because I couldn't bear the thought of the pain. Was that strength? It is all strength, Bill said. There he went reading my mind again. I still didn't believe him when he said he couldn't. Sometimes we need to do things we don't want to for the greater good. Bill went on. You survived, and you survived intact. That is strength. Your grandfather's right, Dante. My father's voice came out of thin air again. You were young, but you still faced your fate like a Gabriel. I'm proud of you. Then you know. Only what Bill has told me. The rest can wait, until you're ready. It would definitely wait until I could see him. Do you know how to find Uncle Bray? We need to tell River. I don't. When I passed, I came straight here. It took a little while for my father to see me, just as it's taking you. But Uncle Bray, Brayden is alive. I haven't seen him. But more importantly, he's my twin. I would know if he had passed. But you're dead or alive, I would know. He and I have a connection beyond our bodies, and we will find him. But your mother made it very clear that I was to go straight to you to protect you. How can you protect me? You're a ghost. I still have the power to glamour humans. As for other vampires, they won't be able to see me. I won't allow it. You can control who sees you. I can. It's pretty awesome, actually. His words made me smile. I could visualize the glint he used to get in his eye when something amused him. Still, I couldn't see him. I sat down at the table with a plunk. This is all too much. Then Aaron's words buzzed in my ears.
Dante, your father is here.
He was. Perhaps I couldn't see him, and perhaps he wasn't alive, but he was here. I could tell him what he meant to me, how sorry I was that I'd contributed to his terrible fate, how much I wished he'd been there for Amelia the last 10 years, and that it was my fault he hadn't been. I could tell him all of this, because he was here, and for that I was thankful. I raised my head, and there stood my father, as plain as day in front of me. My mouth dropped open. So, you see me now. His left eye squinted a bit when he smiled, just as I remembered. I do. I stood. Dante, he said, I don't know what's going on, why you, Brayden, and I were taken, but together we will find out, and we'll make sure it never happens again.
18. Aaron. The vampire text's tome was large and ornate, leather-bound, the printing on thick parchment. I lugged it out of Bill's house into my car, walking as stealthily as I could. This was why Dante was brushing up on French, to read this book, to try to figure out what was going on between us and why. I had to help in any way I could, even if it meant stealing. No, borrowing. I had every intention of returning it when we were done. Still, the idea burned at me. I'd never stolen anything in my life. Back home in Ohio, when I was 13, I'd found a $50 bill on the floor of a small antique shop. I'd turned it in to the clerk. Jay had rolled his eyes when I told him, saying I'd just made the clerk $50 richer. Stealing definitely wasn't something I took lightly. I quietly returned to Dante's bedroom. He was still in the kitchen talking to Bill and Julian. My fingers burned. I hoped I hadn't just made a huge error in judgment. I'd seen the heavy volume on a shelf in the living room while I was going back to Dante's bedroom. It had invaded my mind until I made the rash decision to leave his bedroom, grab the book, and haul it out to my car. The others were busy in the kitchen, and I hoped they were involved enough that their acute vampire hearing wouldn't kick in and give me away. Since no one had come after me and I was now safely back in Dante's room, I was relieved to know it hadn't. I sat down on his bed, my heart beating rapidly. I'd just stolen, nope, borrowed, something, without asking. I'd never done anything like that before. Of course, my entire world had recently been upended. Who knew what I'd do next? I looked at my watch. Dawn was near, and Dante would need to feed from me soon. Should I go out and remind him? Surely he'd come get me if he needed me. Plus, I had to get to bed soon. I had work tonight. And the responsibility of telling Dr. Bonneville, if she was in, that I couldn't continue my research work for her because I hadn't found anything. Kissing $50 an hour goodbye wasn't easy, but what could I do? My groceries were still in my car. Luckily, I hadn't bought anything that would spoil. I sat waiting. Dante would come get me when he was ready. I didn't have to wait long. He burst into the room.
I can see him now, baby.
I smiled and launched myself into his arms. That's great! Another shift to my reality. I was excited that Dante could see his father, who was a ghost. Life was getting more than complicated. He gave me a quick kiss on the top of my head.
I know you need to get home, and I need...
He didn't say the words, but I knew. Let's go, I said. As soon as we walked through the door, Dante threw my 3 bags of groceries on the kitchen counter and plastered me against the refrigerator door.
I need you, Aaron. Now.
His lips came down on mine. The kiss was devoid of the passion I'd become used to. This was a kiss of pure need. I responded, letting him take what he desired, what he ached for, as my nipples hardened and pressed into him. He broke the kiss and rasped,
I can't be gentle right now, baby. I need to get my cock inside you, my teeth inside you.
He pushed my pants over my hips. Already I was throbbing for him, so ready to be penetrated. I hastily stepped out of my jeans and panties while he unbuckled his pants and freed his cock. He trapped me, hoisting me up. A refrigerator magnet gouged into my back, but I didn't care. I existed in this moment to fulfill his need. I had no other reason for being.
and I was okay with that. He thrust upward into my pussy. I gasped at the intrusion. I was wet for him, no doubt, but the lack of foreplay had me tight as a drum. He speared through my tight tunnel, filling me to the brim with his cock. Then he opened his mouth with a low growl, his fangs in full descent. "Need you, Aaron." I closed my eyes and turned my head to the side, giving him access to my neck, and when he sank his teeth into my flesh, the stabbing pain morphing to a pleasure so intense, an orgasm hit me out of nowhere. "Dante!" I cried out, relishing the tugging on my neck, the pulsing in my pussy. He sucked and he thrust in perfect rhythm, the sound of his mouth on my neck sending me further into ecstasy. And then he plunged upward, taking me so deeply that we were truly one body, joined not only sexually, but by blood. The blood bond. He withdrew his teeth and licked over my puncture wounds. Then he gently withdrew his cock and set me down until my feet touched the tile floor. I turned my head and met his gaze, my blood smeared over his lips and chin. Without thinking, I leaned toward him and slid my tongue over his bottom lip, tasting my blood. It tasted like blood. I'd tasted my own blood before, when I'd bitten my tongue or had a nosebleed. "Dante?" His eyes were glazed over. He looked satisfied, completely, physically, and emotionally satisfied. "You said my scent is irresistible. Is my blood as well?" "Your blood tastes 1,000 times better than your scent smells." I was oddly flattered. "What does it taste like? To you, I mean. It just tastes like blood to me." He smiled, his teeth still covered in blood. Oddly, I found him attractive like that. "Imagine the richest dark chocolate or the most complex Bordeaux. It's hard to describe because you don't have the need I do. But it's like sinking your teeth into the most succulent piece of rare beef, or letting the most precious Ocetra caviar float over your tongue."
"Oh, your words. They're so beautiful."
"My words don't do your flavor justice. You have to also imagine having a base need for blood. Your very life depends on that sustenance. So imagine tasting something so rich and thick and powerful after you've been without food or water for days. That's how you taste to me, Aaron. I could take more of your blood right now, and even though I'm full, the effect would be the same as if I'd been starving and finally had found sustenance." I leaned forward and pressed my lips against his, blood and all. He spoke like a poet when he talked of his need for my blood. I slid my lips across his, tasting my own blood on them. I'd tasted it before when kissing him after he'd fed, but this time I concentrated, trying to taste what he tasted, feel what he felt when he fed. I closed my eyes, imagining, letting my feelings swirl around us as we kissed. Though I didn't taste chocolate or wine, I did taste something. Something amorphous that I couldn't describe. It was absolutely delicious. I deepened the kiss, hungering for more of the elusive flavor. Our tongues twirled together, and my pussy began pulsing again. His cock hardened once more, and I jumped into his arms, our mouths still fused. He carried me up to my bedroom and sat down on the edge of the bed, still holding me on his lap. We kissed and we kissed and we kissed. The ineffable flavor intensified. I couldn't get enough, enough of Dante, enough of my blood on Dante's lips and tongue. I ground on his lap against his erection, and then I sank down on his hardness, still kissing him with everything I had. I rode him, my nipples poking through my bra and shirt, and still we kissed. My pussy was so slick as I slid up and down, taking him, releasing him, and then taking him again. Each time he filled me was a new experience, an emptiness released. Each time. Each fucking time. Still our mouths didn't separate. I couldn't stop kissing him, couldn't stop longing for that intense flavor I couldn't name. I moved faster, faster, and then he grabbed my hips and pushed me down on him. Still, I kissed him as he contracted inside me. And still, I kissed him as I joined him in climax. Still, I kissed him as we came down together. Finally, when our mouths parted, we each drew in a deep breath of air. "Damn, Aaron," Dante said. "I know." "What was that?"
Amazing, I'd say. I mean, why did I keep kissing you? I love kissing you. I know that. I love kissing you, too. But I hadn't washed up, and didn't matter. I wanted to taste what you taste, what you crave. I wanted to be a part of it. And it wasn't wine or chocolate or caviar, but it was something. It's not exactly like wine or chocolate or caviar, Aaron. It's you. I know that. I mean, I know that's what you tell me. I just wanted to try to experience what you experience. You... I touched my fingers to his lips, quieting him. I know it won't be the same for me. I get that, but what I'm telling you, Dante, is that I tasted something divine. I can't describe it, but it was amazing, absolutely quenching. I gazed into his dark eyes, and I want more of it.
19. Dante. I'll give you as much as you want, love.
I know. I just never dreamed.
She closed her eyes.
I never in a million years believed.
It was no accident that she wasn't finishing these sentences. Was she finishing them in her head? I didn't know, and I wouldn't ask. Our bond was real, and it was strong. She'd been descended from a vampire somewhere high in her family tree. Did that help her appreciation for the taste of her blood on my lips? The thought warmed me. Maybe we weren't so different after all. I loved her, and I knew without a doubt that she loved me. But until she truly accepted me as vampire, she could never accept anything vampire in herself. And until she truly accepted me as vampire, our relationship wouldn't deepen. We wouldn't live together. She'd put the kibosh on that anyway. We wouldn't marry, have children. The image I'd seen before hurtled into my mind, of Aaron handing me a vampire child. Where had that come from? Any child born of a human and vampire was always human. That's what I'd been taught growing up, and Jack had corroborated it. He was a physician, a vampire physician. He would know. Yet the picture was clear in my mind. A vampire child. My child. Aaron's child. Was it a girl or a boy? I didn't know, but I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was a vampire. I shook my mind to clear it. Something was messing with my mind. Maybe the dark presence B described, which my father had corroborated. No, this was not a dark image. It was a happy image, an image that filled me with joy. The darkness had not caused it, I was certain. I hadn't felt the darkness since the previous evening at the restaurant. Would I feel it again if it was near? I had to believe I would, that I'd be able to escape as I had previously.
Dante?
Aaron. Her touch on my cheek, the warmth of her palm, the tingle of blood beneath her skin. She brought me back to reality. I understand, I said.
Thank you.
You don't need to thank me.
I know this is hard for you, Dante. I know you want me to.
Accept you? Those were the words she still couldn't say. I do. But I also understand, more now than ever.
What do you mean?
You're struggling with the fact that people like me, vampires, exist. I'm struggling, too. I was always taught ghosts didn't exist, at least not as unique individuals like they were as mortals. But now, not only do they exist, but my father is one of them.
He certainly appears to be.
I shook my head. And he took his own life.
He did?
Her mouth dropped into an O. Yeah. He was told to in a dream by my mother, apparently. That he needed to become a ghost to protect me.
I'm so sorry, Dante.
I can't even begin to deal with what it all means. My father is dead because of me. That's something I have to learn to live with. But I can't right now because his very existence has me so rattled. It goes against everything. She was silent for a moment, and her eyes became glassy with a sheen of unshed tears. She managed to hold them back as she cupped my cheek.
Think of it from his perspective for a moment. He's in the same boat you are. He didn't believe in ghosts either, but your mother came to him in a dream so real he had to believe. He had to do what she asked. He had to protect you. It's what fathers do. He's probably struggling with reality as much as the two of us are.
I truly hadn't thought of it in that way. You're so smart, Aaron. So intuitive. So in tune with others.
That's part of being a healthcare provider,
she said.
You learn to intuit when patients can express themselves verbally or otherwise.
No, It's something unique about you. She laughed.
I assure you there's nothing unique about me. Any doctor or nurse who cares about what she does develops intuition for others. It's part of who we are.
I smiled. I still wasn't buying it. She was special, unique, and I loved her with all my being. Don't sell yourself short.
I don't, but it's so...
I placed my fingers over her lips. I choose to believe you're special, Aaron, because you are, especially to me. She wrapped her arms around my neck.
You're special to me, too. I am trying, Dante. I'll get there. I want to get there.
She pulled back, her eyes widening.
Oh, I almost forgot. I have something for you.
She jumped off the bed, pulled on a pair of sweats that had been draped across a chair, and ran downstairs. I zipped up my jeans. All that, and we hadn't even undressed completely. Amazing. I walked into the bathroom and regarded my reflection in the mirror. My whole face was smeared with dried blood from our makeout session. I couldn't help but smile. She was coming closer to full acceptance. It wouldn't be long now. At least, I hoped it wouldn't be. I washed my face quickly and returned to the bedroom. About 5 minutes later, she came back up.
I had to get something out of my car. It's down in the living room.
I arched my brow. You went outside like that?
Yeah, so?
Take a look in the mirror. She went into the bathroom and let out a squeaky scream. Her face was still smeared with dried blood, just like mine had been. She turned on the faucet.
Why didn't you tell me?
I didn't know you were going to go outside.
Oh my God.
When she came out a minute later, her face had been scrubbed clean.
What if someone had seen me?
Did anyone?
I don't think so. It's still pretty early, but people could have been in the parking lot going to work.
She plunked down on the bed, lay down on her back, and put her arm over her forehead.
Speaking of work, I should get some sleep. I'm back on tonight.
Do you want some breakfast? I can make something.
Your famous toast?
She said, without moving her arm from her eyes. Yeah, that's about it. She sat up.
I'll make us something, no problem. Come on.
She got up and left the room. I followed. When I reached the living area, my heart nearly stopped, and I gulped audibly. On her coffee table lay what looked suspiciously like Bill's leather-bound vampire texts.
20. Aaron. What is that, Aaron? Dante asked quietly.
Oh, I smiled. It's for you. But his brow was furrowed. He didn't look happy about my acquisition.
Where did you get it?
I borrowed it this morning from Bill.
Does he know you took it?
Dante shook his head.
Of course he doesn't. He doesn't let anyone touch that book. Aaron, what were you thinking?
I was thinking about you, of all the questions you have. You're learning French so you can read this thing. I wanted to help.
He paced around the living room, raking his fingers through his already disheveled hair. He was upset, angry, and all I could think of was how delicious he looked.
What was wrong with me? How had I made such a stupid mistake? I'm sorry. I'll take it back.
No. He turned back to me. What you did was wrong. You know that as well as I do. But I need this book, Aaron.
That's why I took it. I know you need it. We both need it. To figure out what's going on between us.
Taking it wasn't my best moment in life, I'll grant you that. But once I saw it, all I could think about was this thing between us and how this book might be able to explain it. You know?
Tears welled in my eyes. I'd done something ridiculous that I knew in my heart was wrong, and I'd done it anyway. That wasn't me at all. I'm so sorry. I really am, Dante.
He came to me swiftly then and took me into his arms. It's okay, baby. We'll make it all right. And you were right. I do need this book.
Will Bill understand?
He didn't respond right away, just kissed my forehead a few times.
Dante?
I don't know, honestly. I don't really know my grandfather anymore.
What about your dad?
I think he will understand, but it's not his book, Aaron. It's Bill's. I have to tell him.
I know. Tell him I'm sorry, okay?
He kissed my forehead again. I will.
Are you going to return it right away?
I asked.
Again, he took a few moments to respond.
I'm not sure. We both need to get some sleep now.
I'll decide tonight.
I nodded against his neck. When I got to the ER that night, chaos had broken out. Not only had the missing patient from a few nights ago not been found or returned, Logan was now missing. He hadn't come in 2 nights in a row, and Dr. Bonneville was livid. Lucy filled me in once I'd clocked in.
She's really raging tonight, Aaron. Just stay out of her way.
Staying out of her way was easy enough to do on a busy night. All the nurses had to work with all the doctors on a busy night, but so much was going on that no one had a chance to be angry or treat anyone badly. Unfortunately, tonight was not a busy night. I'd just finished giving a toddler an asthma treatment when I heard Dr. Bonneville yelling at one of the residents.
"I'll have his medical license," she said. "He'll never practice medicine in this state again, or anywhere else if I have any say about it. Find him, or I'll have your license, too."
"Doctor, we've tried. Try harder. Now I have to get another resident in here to pick up the slack. I'm a doctor, and this hospital thinks I'm an HR person. Somehow I'm responsible because one of the residents is missing. Now get the hell out of my sight." I walked by the resident, Dr. Nice. Yes, that was her name, and it fit her well, trying to make myself invisible. To no avail.
"Sorry you had to hear that, Aaron," Dr. Nice said. I smiled weakly. "We've all been there."
I wish I knew why she thinks I have any idea where Logan could be. He and I aren't close at all.
"You're just her target du jour," I said. "She'll be yelling at someone else soon."
"I know. I never seem to get used to it, though."
"You shouldn't have to.
But there will be doctors like her everywhere you go. I hope I never get like that."
"You won't," I said, chuckling.
"Your name won't let you."
She pasted on a nervous smile.
"Aaron, I don't want to pry, but I know you and Logan dated. Do you have any idea what could have happened to him? It's not like him to leave without calling in."
"First of all, we had one date, and it didn't go well. Second, I honestly have no idea. We're not close at all. I can ask Lucy. She dated him once."
Dr. Nice laughed.
"So he's a one-time-only thing?"
I joined her laughter. Neither Lucy nor I felt a connection, I guess.
"He's cute in a geeky kind of way," Dr. Nice agreed. "But not my type either. I just wish I knew where he was so I could go yell at him for putting all of us through this."
"I agree, Dr. Nice. Aaron, please call me Fiona. We've been through this."
We had, but I was more comfortable using doctor in the workplace.
"I will, outside of work, if Dr. Bonneville heard me addressing any of you by your first name."
"I get it," she smiled. "Thanks for the conversation."
I walked away but didn't get far. Dr. Bonneville headed straight toward me, fire in her blue eyes.
"Aaron, I hear you and Dr. Crown were apparently an item. We need to have a chat."
Great. Not only would I be interrogated on Logan's whereabouts, I'd also get the "don't fraternize with the work colleagues" lecture, which, unfortunately, I probably deserved.
"My office," she said. "Now."
21. Dante. Once I'd gotten over the fact that Aaron had taken the vampire texts, I was glad she had. I'd every intention of returning them, after I'd had a full look. The book wasn't as long as it appeared, as the words were printed on thick parchment. It was still long, though, about the size of the New Testament. That was a lot of old French. I'd done a little more research on the language, and I'd found that old French was more of a spoken language. Very little literature written in it still existed. Whoever translated the text apparently thought Old French was a good idea. I couldn't say I agreed. I leafed through the first couple of pages. It might as well have been written in Greek. 10 online lessons in contemporary French didn't amount to much. Unless I learned a lot more, I wouldn't be able to read this volume. After getting over being pissed off about that, I went back to Aaron's computer and tried researching again. I was led to the same old thing. Paranormal websites claiming to know all about vampires, most of which were filled with one myth after another. I usually skipped right over these, but today I decided to attack the issue from a different angle. I scrolled through site after site, looking for anything that might ring true. Nope, same old thing. Until an obscure site called NocturnalTruth.com. It was way down on the list. I'd scrolled through at least 10 pages of entries before I found it. Nothing about vampires was mentioned in the blurb on the search engine, but something made me click anyway. It was only one page, with no links. Do you want the truth? Email me at lucian.crown@nocturnaltruth.com. Crown. The name was familiar somehow. I had heard it recently, I was sure. Bill had asked me if I had an email address. I'd had one in high school, so I logged into it. Wow, junk mail galore. I cleared out all the mailboxes and then updated some information. Then I began to email Lucian Crown. To whom it may concern, I want the truth. If you know the truth, you'll know who I am. You'll know why I need the truth. I struggled with whether to sign my real name and then decided not to. I'd use my father's name. He was dead, so no harm could come to him. But harm could come to M, or me. For God's sake, I said aloud. I deleted the email. This was most likely a hoax and would lead me down a rabbit hole. This wasn't what I needed. I needed the truth, the real truth. My phone buzzed. Bill. Of course, he'd noticed his book was missing. Yeah, I said into the phone. Return my book, Dante. Is the translation ready for me? No, not yet. Then I'm keeping the book. I need it. You won't be able to read it. I'll figure it out one way or another. You must return it. I won't harm it. You'll get it back when I'm done. You're not ready for what's in there, he said adamantly. I'm nearly 30 years old. I'll decide myself what I'm ready for. I moved the phone from my ear, ready to end the call, when Bill's voice came at me loudly as if on speaker. Dante, no one knows what's in the texts. It's too dangerous to know. I clamped the phone back out of my ear. Excuse me. His sigh whooshed into my ear. I didn't want to tell you this. Tell me what? That you don't even know what's in the book, and you expect me to believe that? I don't expect you to believe anything. I expect you to respect me enough to have faith. Respect you? When all you've done is keep me in the dark since I got back. You've been reading my mind, Bill. I'm not bullshit. I know you have been. It's not only annoying, it's creepy as all hell. I need answers. I need to know why I was taken, why Aaron and I are bonded, why that bitch you kept me stole my blood. I need to know, Bill. I have the right to know. If the answers are in that damned book, no one knows what's in the book. Please don't treat me like a child. That's a lie, and you know it. Come over, Dante. Bring the book. We need to talk. The book stayed at Aaron's. Bill had another copy in his office. If he needed to refer to it, he could use that one. I wasn't surprised to see my father in Bill's office as well, standing. Do you ever sit? I asked him. Ghosts don't really sit, he said. We are constantly on the move, and we don't really have bodies. Fascinating, I said dully, sitting down across from the desk Bill sat behind. This will be news to your father as well, Dante, Bill said. He wasn't old enough when he left. He didn't leave any more than I left. He was taken. He might have gone after me, but it wasn't his idea not to come back. Semantics, Bill said. Can we get past that, please? I'm doing the best I can. I'm about to break old vampire law, divulging what I'm about to tell the two of you. I scoffed. What the hell is old vampire law? We follow the laws of the place where we live. We do, he agreed. But when vampires reach a certain age, they learn about old vampire law. What age is that? 92. So you've known about this for 10 years, I said. He nodded. Since shortly after the two of you were taken, he cleared his throat. And who told you? One of the elders. He's gone now. Only two of us on the council know. What is there to know? Then I turned to my father. You're eerily quiet. Only because this doesn't concern me. For all intents and purposes, I don't exist anymore. I'm here only as your protector. I need to know everything you know. Sounded reasonable enough. No one has read the texts in their entirety. Old vampire law cautions us against doing so. But why is that? Because there are secrets in the texts, Bill said. Secrets that could ultimately destroy us. This is ridiculous, I said. I have to agree, Dad, my father said. None of this makes any sense. You taught me that the texts were historical. What about our history could possibly destroy us? Believe me, it didn't make any sense to me when I found out either. but it's something we are supposed to accept on faith. Faith. That word again. I'd had to have faith that my father was here as a ghost, and once I'd accepted that, I'd been able to see him. But faith was still a foreign concept to me. Religious people had faith, but I wasn't a religious person. Did I have faith in anything? Aaron. I had faith in my bond with Aaron. I accepted it even though I didn't understand it. Could I apply my faith to what Bill was about to tell me? Time would tell. I'd previously thought Bill sounded dogmatic. Perhaps I'd been right. Bill cleared his throat and continued. Apparently the texts were originally written in ancient hieroglyphs. A vampire scientist named Olivier Lebert translated them in the early 13th century into Old French. It was Lebert who insisted they never be read by any vampire after him. He devised our current teaching of the necessary elements through symbolry, passed to each generation orally, so no one had to actually read the texts in their entirety. What lay between those pages, he said, could be our undoing. So you truly don't know what's in the texts, I said, still unbelieving. I know some of it, the history, what I taught you, he said to my father. That is what was taught to me by my father, and what I taught River and Amelia when they came of age. And I'm still in the dark, I said. There's a reason for that, Bill said. Hear me out. I was as curious as both of you, and my ego got the best of me. I'm a logical person. What could be in a book that could possibly harm us? I thought I knew more than the elders, so when I was told the truth about the texts, I decided to read them myself. You can read Old French. He shook his head. But I can read contemporary French. It was a stretch, but I was able to translate a few sections. Most of what I read I already knew. It was what I'd been taught, and what I taught you, Julian. But I eventually came across a passage so dark that I closed the book and vowed never to open it again. What did the passage say, Dad? My father asked. Bill closed his eyes. I can't reveal it to you. It's too dangerous. I'm asking you to believe me, to take it on faith. I stood. That's bull. Dante, hear him out, my father said. I can't repeat it, Bill said. Not in good conscience. Then why are we having this little discussion? I asked. You've already refused to teach me what you taught River and Amelia. Are you really having parts of the text translated for me? Or is that another lie? Bill didn't respond. Yep, a lie. It's not what you think, Bill finally said. And exactly how is that? I asked, not nicely. Your father is here. He might be dead, but he's here. He will be the one to teach you. I lied about the translation to keep you satisfied until you were able to accept your father as a ghost. I turned to my father. Dad? He nodded. I will teach you, son, but I can only teach you what I know. Then what about Aaron and me? What about the blood bond? Bill stood behind his desk. When he opened his mouth to speak, his fangs had descended. Dante, the answers you seek aren't in the texts. The texts will only darken your world. What you seek is light. What I seek is understanding of the blood bond between Aaron and me. Where else would I find it? I don't know. I was only able to come up with a tiny bit of research. And though it rings true with your situation, we'll never know if it's truly accurate. Where did you find your information? I demanded. An obscure site on the web. Nocturnal Truth.
22. Aaron. I sighed as I sat down beside Lucy at my workstation. You okay? She said. You look like you've just been through major trauma. Major trauma? Major trauma was what we saw every night in the ER. Even so, my run-in with Dr. Bonneville had taken it out of me. She'd demanded to know how her research project was going, and when I'd told her I hadn't found anything of substance, she'd gone off the deep end. You're worthless! Then she'd pulled a $100 bill out of her pocket and shoved it at me. I suppose I'd better pay you, or you'll haul me into small claims court, and God knows I don't have time for that shit. At least she hadn't reprimanded me about Logan, which was what I'd been afraid of in the first place. All she asked is whether I knew where he might have gone. And at least I was $100 richer. I'm fine, I said. Just another night at the ER with the hag, as Steve likes to call her. She cornered you, huh? She got Dr. Nice earlier. I know, I witnessed some of it. She hasn't asked me about Logan yet.
She only asked me if I knew where he went, I said. Mostly we talked about some research she wanted me to do for her. There's nothing out there to support her hypothesis, and apparently that makes me an idiot. Maybe it's out there and you just didn't find it. Whose side are you on? Calm down, yours. I'm always on your side, Aaron. I shook my head. I know, I'm sorry. I just really didn't need this tonight. No one ever does. Lucy typed something on her computer. Seriously, though, what do you think is going on with Logan? He always seemed so dedicated. I don't know. Maybe he got called out of town for a family emergency or something. But he'd call, wouldn't he? You'd think so. Lucy turned to me. Or maybe he's dead. The thought had occurred to me as well. I don't think so. Someone would have found him, ID'd him. Maybe he was abducted by aliens, she smiled. Get a grip, Luce. Though if vampires and ghosts were real, why not aliens? What other explanation is there? If he's not dead, he would have called in. At least the Logan I know would have. She was right. The Logan I knew, or thought I knew, was a dedicated physician who took his duty to his patients very seriously. None of this made sense. The only thing that might have happened is that whoever took the patient also took Logan, and he's somewhere where he can't make a call or send an email. That jolted me. Dante had been taken, held against his will. Had the same thing happened to Logan? No, that was ridiculous. I turned to my computer and logged in. Not that it was any of my business, but I checked to see if there were any medical records for Dr. Logan Crown. Bingo. He'd been seen in the ER 2 years ago for a mild concussion. He was also on a high dose of lithium, a mood stabilizer. I turned away from the screen. Man, he was probably bipolar. Oh, I was really violating his privacy, and I felt like shit for doing it. But I needed to check one more thing. His blood type. B positive. I made a mental note and got out of the file. Lucy was engrossed in her own computer screen, and she thought I was nuts when I brought up the rash of B-positive blood around the hospital earlier, so I kept it to myself. Had Logan had any bite marks on his neck? I hadn't been looking at the time. I just wanted a quick fuck to get Dante out of my mind. I had little time to ruminate on it. Sirens shrieked, and Lucy and I ran back out to the ER. Pregnant woman, mid-20s, 7.5 months along. Her water broke. We've got O2 started. Dr. Bonneville was on it. Do you have a fetal heartbeat? Yeah, but it's slow. The cord is probably compressed. Let's get her in room 4 for an ultrasound stat. This baby is being born tonight. Let the NICU know. Please, please, the woman wailed. Save my baby, please. We'll do everything we can, I said, trying to soothe the young mother. Whether the baby lived depended on his lung capacity. He was far enough along to survive, but he might have the NICU in his future. Who's your obstetrician? Dr. Mullaney. I'll page the doctor on call at her office. No, I want Dr. Mullaney. She gritted her teeth. And I need to push, now. Her doctor would be Dr. Bonneville then. There wasn't time for Dr. Mullaney or anyone else to get here. She still had her maternity pants on, but she was most likely crowning. It's too soon, she cried. Please, save the baby. We'll do everything we can. Once in the room, I got her pants and underwear removed and strapped on the fetal monitor. Normally with bradycardia, I'd use an internal monitor, but that wasn't possible, just as I'd suspected. She's crowning, doctor. Dr. Bonneville came around swiftly. No time for that ultrasound. Ma'am, this baby is ready to be born. But it's too soon. You're 7.5 months along. Your baby will have a good chance. Stop the labor. Please, give me a shot or something. We can't stop the labor now, I said. Your water has broken and the baby has descended into the birth canal. He's coming. She said through puffs of breath. A baby girl, I smiled. How wonderful. Will she be all right? We will do everything we can. Dr. Bonneville situated herself between the woman's legs. It hurts, the patient wailed. I felt for her, but there was no time for an epidural. The baby was determined to get out. I need to call my boyfriend. We'll take care of notifying everyone, I said. Right now, you need to concentrate on bringing your daughter into the world, okay?
When you feel the next contraction, I want you to give me a good push, Dr. Bonneville said. It should be coming in a few seconds. Here it comes. Now, push. The woman screamed as she bore down. Good, Dr. Bonneville said. Just one more, and we'll get that head out. I don't like the bradycardia, Aaron. Have you called NICU? Yes, doctor. Okay, one more push, and we should have that head out. The woman screamed again, and the little girl's head broke free. Dr. Bonneville eased the baby's body out, cut the cord, and handed her off to another nurse. Then she bent back down to deliver the placenta. The baby's skin had a gray tinge. That was never good. She's not crying, the mother wailed. Why isn't she crying? They have to suction her mouth out, I said. It takes a few seconds. Apgar 3, the nurse handling the child said. Cry, damn it, cry. Then a sound, kind of like an oink, then another. She's breathing, the nurse said. A couple more oinks, then a louder cry. Thank God. I want to see her, the mother said. In a minute, I said. It won't be long. A NICU nurse arrived to take over. The on-call pediatrician is on his way, she said to Dr. Bonneville. We're going to take her to the neonatal intensive care unit, I told the woman. Neonatal? ICU for newborns. They'll be able to decide whether she needs help getting oxygen. But I heard her. I heard her cry. I want to hold her. I understand, but we need to do what's best for her right now. We need to keep her warm and make sure she's healthy enough to keep breathing on her own. I'm what's best for her. She's my baby. Of course you are. I wiped the sweat off her forehead and forced a smile. You will see her as soon as you possibly can. Have you named her yet? My boyfriend wants to call her Sally after his aunt, but I like Isabel. How about Isabel Sally? I said. That sounds good. She yawned. Why am I so tired? Because your body just worked harder than it ever has before. I forced a smile. What's your name? Patty. Patty Doyle. Patty, I'm Aaron. We'll get everyone notified, all right? May I see the child? Dr. Bonneville said, putting a fresh pair of rubber gloves on her hands. Of course, doctor. The NICU nurse handed Dr. Bonneville the bundle. Her color is quite good. Her lungs must be mature. There's a good chance she won't need incubation. Dr. Bonneville examined the child, and then she did something odd. She placed one of her gloved fingertips on the child's lips and poked into her mouth. Very strange. But the other nurses didn't question her, so I certainly wasn't about to. Sucking reflex is excellent, Dr. Bonneville said. I think she's going to be fine. I stayed by Patty's side as the orderlies wheeled her to the service elevator to take her to recovery in the maternity ward. You were so nice to me, Patty said. I'd like to name her after you. What about Isabel Sally? It's going to be Isabel Aaron. Who cares what Liam thinks? He won't marry me anyway. She choked out a laugh. I had no idea what to say to that, so I simply smiled. Until I was ripped away from her by more blaring sirens. I'll come visit you when I can, I said as she disappeared behind the elevator door.
23. Dante. I found that website, I said to Bill. I almost sent an email, but then I didn't want to risk it. It seemed like it could be a hoax. I created a dummy email account to respond, Bill said. There are a lot of documents on the site, and they're all encrypted. Even if I could read them, it would be like looking for a needle in a haystack. How did you find the blood bond stuff then? I couldn't tell you. The documents were all encrypted. I had to put in keywords, and then I paid a fee to have the documents with my keywords unencrypted. Maybe I should have searched the text myself, but he shuddered. I couldn't open that book again. I'd already tried. I'd have to spend a lot more time studying to even attempt to understand it. My grandfather didn't need to know that, though. Does the site have a translation of the vampire texts? I asked. It purports to, but first of all, the fee to unencrypt all the documents is exorbitant. It costs enough as it is to get the stuff about the blood bond. I had no money, only what Bill had given me. I truly needed to find a job, but what was I qualified for? I hadn't even finished high school. I know what you're thinking, Bill said, and no, I won't pay for you to access the full documents on the website. That's not what I was thinking, and I wouldn't ask you to, I said. Do you know who runs the website, Dad? My father asked. He goes by the name of Lucien Crown, but I'm sure that's not his real name. Crown again. I knew I'd heard that name before, but where? Is he a vampire? He calls himself a nocturnal philosopher, whatever that is, Bill said. I have no idea if he's a vampire. Who else would have access to the texts? I asked. I don't know. He must be a vampire, I said. The nocturnal gives it away. Maybe that's just what he wants us to think, Bill said. But he had the answer to the blood bond. He had an answer. Whether it's true, will we ever really know? But everything you said has happened, I said. True, that's very true. Dad, my father said, if this book is as dangerous as you say, why didn't you destroy it? You still have two copies in this house. One, he said with resignation. Your son and Aaron have the other. That makes no difference. Why didn't you destroy them after you found the so-called dark passage? It's not that simple, Julian. The book contains our history. We can't change our history, no matter how dark it is. Humankind has a dark history, too, Dad. I'm not denying that, Bill said. But the portion of the texts I'm talking about has nothing to do with our history. It has to do with what we're capable of. I opened my mouth, but my grandfather held up his hand. Don't. That's all I can say. I've already told you too much. I wasn't about to fight him. Not right now. I need to get some sleep, I said. I'm exhausted. Bill nodded. I headed to my bedroom and was about to disrobe to take a shower when my father appeared. I nearly jumped out of my skin. You might want to warn me before you do that. I'm sorry, Dante, but I need to talk to you. It's important. Yeah? You and I need to know what's in the texts. I trust that we can handle any darkness we find. After what we've been through, darkness will not affect us. Did my father know what I'd been through? Had he been through the same, or worse? A shiver ran through me. Of course he had. We can do it ourselves, he continued. But that would take more time than we have. The alternative is to pay the fee to the website. How can we do that? I have no money. I have been living off bills since I returned, and it's putting a nasty taste in my mouth. And you're... dead? I couldn't say the word. Dante, I have money. Now that I'm dead, you need to file a death certificate, and then you and Amelia can collect my property as my heirs. My eyes popped open. Why hadn't I thought of that? Of course my father had money. My mother had been rich, and he'd inherited everything when she died. Why hadn't Bill taken care of that when he disappeared? Because he was hoping his sons were alive, of course. He had no proof of death. I'm not sure what's going on with my father, Dante, my father said. But for the first time, I'm not sure I trust him. Thank God, I said. It's not just me. He seemed off since I got back. He's hiding something, my father agreed. Something that has him scared. And trust me, your grandfather doesn't scare easily. If we're going to figure out what's going on between you and Aaron, we need that book. We'll need my money to get the translation from the website. With my death certificate, you can get your hands on it. But there's one thing you'll need to do first. What's that? Recover my body.
24. Aaron. My shift ended, and after I changed, I decided to head up to maternity to see how Patty was doing. I'd promised her after all, and I wanted to look in on little Isabel as well. She'd been over 5 pounds, so she was probably doing well. I checked in with the front desk. Could you tell me which room Patty Doyle is in? She gave birth last night in the ER. I was her nurse, and I want to say hi and see how she's doing. Sure. Let me check. She scanned her computer screen. What was the name again? Doyle. Patty Doyle. I don't have a Patty Doyle. Maybe it's Patricia? No. No Doyle, period. That's strange. Her baby got transferred to the NICU. Let me look there. She typed a few things and regarded her screen again. No Doyle in the NICU. She tapped again. Or here in our nursery. Are you sure you have the right last name? My heart nearly stopped. I'm sure. A NICU nurse came to the ER last night for the baby. Her name? I didn't get her name, but she was there. Ask Dr. Bonneville or the other nurse on duty, Dale. We were both there when she took the baby. I'm sorry. Neither the mother nor the baby are anywhere in this hospital.
Epilogue, The Queen. I'm getting closer to my ultimate goal, Dante. Even without you. I needed to let you go to become what you are destined to be. You are strong, Dante. My blood has made you strong. Her blood is making you even stronger. But it's not her blood that will ultimately fulfill you. You will be back. I already control you. I always will. The only blood bond you have is with me.
We hope you have enjoyed our presentation of Blood Bond 5 by Helen Hart, performed by John Lane and Lauren Rowe. Performance copyright 2018 by Brilliance Publishing, Inc. All rights reserved. For further information concerning this program or other Brilliance audio titles, please call the following toll-free number, 1-800-222-3225, or visit our website at www.brillianceaudio.com. No part of this recording may be played for an audience or reproduced in any form. It may not be streamed, downloaded, broadcast, or copied without written permission. Address all inquiries to Brilliance Audio, P.O. Box 887, Grand Haven, Michigan, 49417.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.